Four-time X Games gold medalist Paul Rodriguez, P-Rod himself, in studio with us in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin Beach Show on the world-famous K-Rock, and Liz Winstead, very smart, very funny lady, is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour, co-creator of The Daily Show, among other things, by the way. So a little something for everybody today here, Ralph.
She'd be so much hotter if she was blind, though, Liz Winstead, let's face it.
Now, what is, I know this came up yesterday during the showbiz beat, what is your lifelong fascination with hot blind chicks?
Don't act like I'm alone in this. I found out yesterday. There was an outpouring of support for my long-standing love for showbiz's long-standing love for impossibly hot blind chicks.
I didn't realize that was a category that's been done frequently.
It's a whole genre, of hot blind chicks in movies and television shows. It's a long-standing stereotype that has been welcomed by me and apparently many of you. Because here's the thing: first of all, hot. Okay, right. They got that going for them.
Yeah, they could be hot Nazis and they'd still get points for being hot.
Right? Hot.
Okay.
Then blind, which means...
Okay, but why is that a positive? Like, why does that make them hotter?
All right,
I'm
going
to get there. Wait for it. They need you. They're a little bit helpless.
Oh, you're gross.
So you get to stand up and be the man, be the guy, be the dude, right? It gives you a little bit of that savior complex that some guys like to have.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then the other side is they don't know how hot they are. They're hot, but they look in the mirror, and what do they see? Well, they don't see anything because they're blind. So they don't know they're hot, which means that they're down to earth, they're not full of themselves, and more importantly, they don't know how ugly you are.
Ah,
so I think that's the hook.
So
right
your
there.
Personality shines through and just in their heads, in their minds, unless they're one of those weird face touchers, they just don't know how hideous you are. And so you can actually have a shot with a hot blind chick.
So you can be the elephant man and they'll never know.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because he had a giant bulbous head and he slobbered a lot. Maybe that would be a giveaway. But yes, you could score her.
Okay, but Ralph, how much time and attention is that young lady you described going to be putting into her beauty regimen if she's blind? Like, how much is she going to be doing the hair and the makeup and the worrying about what's
you know,
her weight?
The only things that make a woman attractive.
Thank you, Allie, for clarifying it for me. Yes.
Oh, you two are really disgusting.
You
right
obviously
now.
Don't watch this genre. You would know they're just hot all the time. They're just hot.
Even though they
don't
can't
worry about
see
those things,
they're still putting on the lip liner and
eye
makeup.
You ruined this fantasy. It's like, yeah, sure, but how much time is it going to put mascara on? How much she do her rouge?
All right, who's been hot?
So
on
anyway, we talked about this yesterday. A ton of emails I got, and I compiled them all together, and I put together a list of the top five hot blind chicks from TV and movies.
Okay, excited.
Here's for number one. This was a big one for a lot of us who grew up watching this on cable. A little movie called Ice Castles.
Oh, Ice Castles. That's the movie that used to make Catherine Wood cry.
Ice Castles is about a beautiful figure skater played by Lynn Holly Johnson who's just smoking hot in this movie. She has a freak ice skating accident where she hits her head on a metal chain and gets blind. And she can't skate anymore because you can't skate when you're blind. But along comes Robbie Benson.
What?
To rescue her. He shows up. The rough and tumble hockey skater, Robbie Benson, comes in and teaches her how to skate and how to love again. Here's a little clip from the trailer of Ice Castles.
It took a lot of courage.
Well, I did that when I could see.
It took a lot of strength.
Oh, baby.
And most of all,
you did a double.
It took a lot of love.
Yes, it took a lot of love.
It took a lot of love.
Thank God he was there to show her that she could skate.
He helped her, Allie. Stop being so cynical. And Lynn Holly Johnson, by the way, so hot in this movie.
And so blind.
And so blind. And she was also hot in For Your Eyes Only, the James Bond movie, but not nearly as blind.
For Your Eyes Only?
See how weird that is?
How curious.
Yes. Next on the list, number four on the list, oddly enough, is from the Fantastic Four. Talk about a girl not knowing how ugly you are. How about Alicia, Ben Grimm's girlfriend in the Fantastic Four movies from 2005? Michael Chiklis plays the giant orange rocky thing from the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. And his smoking hot blind girlfriend is Kerry Washington.
What?
What is happening?
Who doesn't judge him on his hideous looks and his rocky skin. She judges him on the inside, what he has on the inside, and his massive rocky penis. Those are the things she judges him by. Here's the beautiful Kerry Washington, who's just blind as a bat, meeting the thing for the first time.
It's okay.
Cast the disregard. He hates me.
She is not so into hate.
You can see me.
You wouldn't be saying that.
Then let me see you. Am I?
All right, that audio didn't work out so well, but trust me, it's very sexy, and she's very blind. Then comes the whole blind girl in peril sub-genre to this genre, which really was kicked off with a movie in 1967 called Wait Until Dark. Audrey Hepburn, looking about as hot as a blind chick can look, plays a hot blind chick who is terrorized by criminals who are searching her apartment for a drug stash that she accidentally comes across. And they just terrorize her because she's blind, alone in the apartment, and she can't get away from these criminals. She's terrorized because she's blind and she's hot. Here's the trailer to Wait Until Dark.
Audrey Hepburn, the role you're going to remember whenever you're alone.
Gloria? Oh.
She is blind, and she is alone. The terrible suspicion growing.
Gloria, I know you're there.
But that sparked off, that was 1967, that sparked off just a copycat after copycat after copycat movie of blind girls who are much in danger. Like Jennifer 8 from 1992, this was number two on our list. A lot of people fell in love with a smoking hot blind Uma Thurman in film.
Yeah.
Andy Garcia plays the big city cop who moves to a small town and finds himself investigating a string of seemingly unrelated murders. All these young women, ho, were blind.
Wait
for the cue.
I jumped the gun there.
And so he meets a smoking hot young blind woman who may be the serial killer's next victim. Here's a little bit of the trailer of a movie called Jennifer 8.
A blind lady has been attacked again.
Why does he want to kill me?
Because he thinks you're a witness.
There is no serial killer. You stick her name up in neon and there is still no serial killer.
I love you. Are my lips lying to you? Is my mouth lying to you? He was here.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Is that you, John?
I've been doing this too long to be wrong.
What the?
That movie doesn't sound real, Ralph. That movie sounds like a parody of
a movie. It's awesome, Jennifer.
Is my
mouth awesome.
Lying to you?
Because all the girls, they cut their heads off the blind girls. And so each one is like a Jane Doe, and they call each one Jennifer. That's the code for it. And so she would be Jennifer 8.
The
serial killer gets a hold of her.
Got it.
And number one, we talked about this yesterday. It's the one that kicked the whole conversation off. Melissa Sue Anderson as Mary Ingalls on Little House on the Prairie. That show was on the air for 9 seasons. She lost her sight at the end of season 4. That means we got five sweet seasons of a smoking hot blind chick.
And if I do recall, her husband was blind, but then in true TV fashion, regained his sight.
He got his vision back, yes. But she stayed blind the whole time. And hot the whole time. Melissa Sue Anderson, she lost her sight in the 4th season, 2-part season finale called I'll Be Waving As You Drive Away. It's 2 hours of her slowly losing her sight and then going to a school for the blind where she feels very sorry for herself. But then she meets Adam, a teacher at the school for the blind, and she falls very much in love with him at the school for the blind. And she lets go of her bitterness and accepts her blindness and her hotness. It is 2 hours of television, but there is a video on YouTube that is distilled down all 2 hours of this television program to 30 seconds. So here is the 30-second version of Melissa Sue Anderson from Little House on the Prairie losing her eyesight and finding love.
My eyes are just a little tired.
Seems to be a little eye strained, but basically you're fine. Mary is going blind.
I'm going to be fine. I can't see.
There are schools for the blind.
Allow me to introduce myself. All you think about is being blind.
You see, it's not so hard.
No, I don't see.
Oh. I want to hold your face in my heart, Adam Kendall.
There you go. 2 hours.
They took it very seriously.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know who did it, but I found it on YouTube, and it's very funny. So there you go. Those are your top five movie and TV hot blind chicks.
So the only thing better than being a hot chick is being a hot blind chick, then. That's our takeaway here.
Ladies, seriously, if you want to attract the fellas, just, I don't know, blind yourself, I guess.
I hate you all so much.
He is sometimes called the Dark Prince of Comedy. Anthony Jeselnik joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. But first, Gwyneth Paltrow back in the news, you guys. She's the best, isn't she?
Oh, I love her.
So relatable.
Love her so much. Anyone subscribing to Goop? Anyone reading the Goop at all?
No.
From time to time, Ms. Paltrow, the Academy Award-winning actress, will dispense medical advice to her 1.3 million followers on Twitter as well. And we talked about her a few months ago when she was talking about the vaginal herbal steam. I don't remember what she was trying to cure with that, but I don't even – she seems to like heat because now she says she's got the flu. And she's trying to get rid of the flu, so she's going to the sauna to get rid of the flu. That's the ticket right there, is an infrared sauna. Is what she's trying to knock out her flu. So that's the advice that she's passing along to Goop readers. Now,
does that knock out the flu?
Well, it doesn't. There's no medical backing to that at all.
I know, but there's some steam helps, like if you have congestion or stuff like that. That can
It loosens up the gunk in your chest.
Yeah. But there's
a lot of problems with the theory that people are suggesting. Like, I don't know, if you're contagious, you shouldn't be taking it into a sauna in close quarters with a lot of other people.
That's a good point.
It also dehydrates you.
She probably has her own sauna, though, Bean.
Yeah, she probably does have one at home. It also dehydrates you when you go into a sauna, obviously, which is, again, the opposite of medical advice. If you have a flu, you're supposed to stay hydrated, drink lots of water. So we wanted to talk to Gwyneth and find out why she is passing along information like this. If medical science is all lining up and saying everything she advises is a bad idea, what's up with you, Gwyneth Paltrow?
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you, Gwyneth?
I'm good.
Okay.
Do you guys read Goop?
Not really, no.
It's
no,
really
but we see
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Goop.
Right. You do love Goop.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hi.
We don't read this site because it's a lot of information for rich people, really. I mean,
it's not. Everyone gets the flu.
Right.
That is true.
Hi.
Okay.
Right, everyone gets the flu, but
yes,
it's
if you get the flu, you should go into a sauna.
Okay, but again,
remove all the moisture from your body.
That is medically the opposite of what doctors advise, though, which is to drink lots of fluids and stay hydrated.
I'm pretty sure that's not true.
it's definitely true.
Definitely get a lot of heat and something that makes you dry and tired. Bye.
No, hold.
What?
Gwyneth, that's terrible advice. That's why doctors are coming out and saying, don't listen to Gwyneth Paltrow. She's an actress, not a doctor.
But I'm also an Academy Award winner.
Right, but still not a doctor.
Still not a doctor.
But I'm wealthy.
Right.
That's true.
Yes, still not a doctor.
And Steven Spielberg's my godfather.
That is actually true.
So,
yeah.
But doctor?
Sauna.
But doctor or not doctor?
If you have an ailment, I can cure it because I have Goop. Name an illness, I'll tell you to get rid of it.
All right. What if somebody is listening and they are suffering from kidney stones, one of the most painful things a human can go through?
Pack your anus with ice cubes and mint.
And mint?
Ice cubes and mint?
Yes.
How would that work exactly?
Well, the mint opens up your capillaries, and the ice cube will make the stones go, brrr, it's cold in here, let's get out of the body.
Wow.
Next.
Okay.
Syphilis.
That's easy. Take a banana peel and shave it with a cheese grater.
Okay.
Shut up, Omar.
Wait,
you have a guy named Omar there?
Yes. That's Omar weird. Goop is his name.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Okay, all right.
You take the banana peel shavings and you pack them into your urethra.
Oh.
And then you burn some sage. And the sage and the banana peels together will... open up your urethra to the size of a toilet paper roll.
Oh, I don't think you want that.
And you go in there with a Q-tip and some alcohol and just clean it all out.
Oh, man.
Very exact.
Problem solved. Next. Okay.
Oh.
Wow. Isn't it interesting that the first disease that came to mind from Allie was syphilis, though?
That's true.
That was top of mind, wasn't it?
That is odd.
Kevin, do you have anything
with you,
that
girlfriend.
Do you have anything, Kevin, that you'd like to run by Gwyneth Paltrow to get healed by?
I don't know. I don't want to hear more about stuff in your anus and your pee hole.
Well, about that's where these problems have been. I can cure anything.
All right. What? Let's say you have pink eye.
Oh, pink eye. Yes. Grab a rabbit and rub it in your eye.
Grab a rabbit.
Yes, because rabbits already have pink eyes.
Okay.
So the albino ones do, right.
Pink eye plus pink eye equals regular eye.
Oh. You know, this is so interesting. We were prepared to make fun of you for your ridiculous medical advice, but it sounds like you're making a lot of sense.
Thank you. Science.
Hey, we'll talk to the great Josh Gad coming up next hour here on K-Rock. Plus, I've got tickets for you for the Foo Fighters in September in Southern California, and you're also eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Monday morning to see them one more time at Austin City Limits, along with Florence and the Machine, Alt-J, Modest Mouse, and so much more. 9 o'clock this morning, you qualify here on the Kevin Bean Show. For that, details at krock.com.
You seen that video of the wedding dance?
Yeah. Brutal.
Bride and the groom come
in.
It's
like MMA.
An
MMA wedding.
Everybody's clapping and they're all excited.
I've seen a bride get kicked to the head before.
Total
roundhouse.
Total. The guy does like a backflip. He doesn't know that he's going to hit her and he just lays her out. She gets up and falls back down again.
She doesn't even get up. They like pull her up. Oh, you're okay. You're okay. They let go of her. Then she goes down like a bag of oranges again.
That is that's devastating to watch. I mean, she really does get dropped, like you said, Ralph. Like it's an MMA fight. It's kind of crazy how badly she could have been. Maybe she was badly hurt. We don't know.
But what we're saying is she deserves it because they were trying to dance.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
That's what we're saying. Let's face it.
It's the over choreographed nature of some weddings where they have to. It's not only the ceremony. Then they have to come in and do like a choreographed number.
Right.
And when those go south, I don't find myself feeling bad for them.
And the pressure now, the wedding party has to be Cirque du Soleil or else everyone thinks it's a failure somehow as an event. Ridiculous.
It does seem like increasingly weddings are held so that the bride and groom can get some good YouTube videos out of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're shooting for, is you're shooting for some sort of Bollywood-style extravaganza with the wedding party.
A lot of choreography and production numbers and dancing and medleys of Broadway show tunes and stuff. There's a lot of work going into these weddings.
Omar, you're a DJ.
I'm a DJ. I do a lot of weddings.
A lot of weddings.
Yeah. And, you guys aren't kidding.
How common is this?
It's you know what? It's not as common as you guys think. For the most part, people try to do things that are pretty short and sweet. So as like for the first dance, this is the most common one. For the first dance, they'll slow dance for the first 30 seconds.
And then we got to break into something crazy.
Right. And then that's fine. Whatever. Not a big deal.
But let me stop you there. They all just go crazy with Gangnam Style.
Let me stop you there. Do they do that because they're trying to amaze the reception guests? Is that what it is? It's just supposed to be a fun surprise for them? Like, it's not enough to watch that your friends get married and have a first dance?
Yeah, they think they're going to be wild and crazy, and they think that their guests are really going to get a big kick out of it. That's what they're thinking is.
But they're not getting any attention. That's the problem. The bride and groom just gets no attention on their wedding day. No one pays any attention to what they're doing. Oh, wait a minute.
So, Ralph, what do you think that's about then? Because you make a great point. Of all the days in a young woman's life, the last day you think that she would need to do something extra is your wedding day. You're already the star. Why are they going to these extremes?
I think this is a case of social media putting pressure on people to one-up each other.
You do, really?
I do.
Huh.
I do. I think people watch these videos. Remember the whole wedding party dancing down the aisle in that church for that big thing?
Yeah, they got a lot of play.
They got a lot of play. And I think people look at this stuff and they say, well, we have to do something special at our wedding, too. We have to go to the next step. We have to make it bigger and better than the other thing.
All right.
People who think that way do that.
Back to Omar. One out of how many weddings that you've done?
Oh,
50, 20?
Probably one out of ten.
One out of ten?
Wow. Yeah, one out of
so
ten. 10% they do something
of all
like
weddings pull some performance.
Absolutely.
Item.
And then probably one out of 20 that decide to do something actually succeeds. Most of the time,
it's a failure, right?
It's a failure because not everybody commits, or the time
this
is wrong.
This guy committed, though. This groom committed.
He did. He really said, watch this. I'm going to flip kick my wife right in the freaking head. If she's awake at the end of this, I haven't done my job.
That was full on committing.
The last wedding I was in, the yes. bride had asked us before the wedding. She's like, how do you guys want to walk down the aisle? And I said,
one
like
foot
a
in front
normal
of the other.
Person at a slow gait.
I was thinking left, then right, then yeah. left, then right.
And she literally was like, really? You guys aren't into it? You don't want to do something wacky? I'm like, shut up.
Yeah. So what? Did
no
you end up doing it regular?
Just me walking right. down the aisle is wacky enough.
Boring.
Boring, but it's just, it's cringeworthy. I don't want to see it.
You should have made dolphin noises walking down
the
aisle.
That's true. I think Omar brings awesome. Up the best point, which is a lot of people don't have the skill set to pull this stuff off.
No. Mm-hmm. You're just normal people.
You're
who
not
aren't
a dancer, you're not a singer, you're not an actor, so usually it's going to fall flat.
This happens normally at the beginning of the reception? Is that how they enter?
Throughout the event. It all depends on how they want to arrange it. But the most common is the first dance, father-daughter dance, or a big grand entrance.
Right.
Well, you know,
by
that's
the way,
dance into
or
the
a toast, room. Too. A toast with
they do a wacky toast.
Bridesmaid or best man toast. Sometimes they'll pull out all the production elements.
Let's remember that Omar not long ago came in to tell us about a wedding that he played where it was officiated by puppets, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just remember that that happened.
Yeah.
I support
so,
that.
Yeah.
It would,
I'm
it
down
would be.
With puppets.
That was actually,
I think it would be.
I support it.
That was well
that
done.
That was okay?
Though. Yeah, it was well done. It was well done.
I think it would be interesting. Omar said that most of the time it doesn't work because the participants involved don't have the skill to pull it off. So it sounds like there may be some wedding choreography or performance disaster stories out there for us,
yeah.
I think.
Or the other biggest problem I run into is that the bride and groom want to do, usually the bride, wants to do too much.
Okay.
And you know, a wedding, you want to keep it to about 6 hours. That's it. You don't want your
wedding
guests to
and
be there.
Reception. Right.
Exactly, to be for all day. Mm. And they wanted, I mean, the biggest failure that I was a part of, they had three different DJs. They had Brazilian dancers. They had jugglers.
Wow.
Dude.
Are you positive this was a wedding?
Yeah.
You were at a carnival?
And it was the biggest flop because I was the only real wedding DJ. And then that had experience doing weddings. And then they brought in these other, like, OC club DJs, and as soon as they took over the turntables, everything, I mean, all the older people left, and the dance floor all cleared out. It was just the bridesmaids.
And then they start pumping the foam in.
Yeah, exactly.
Pumping the foam in for the foam party.
Yeah, it was such a big fail. And the people at the wedding half the time didn't know where to look because there was so much stuff going on.
Right.
It was just
right.
bizarre.
I wouldn't mind
and all the
seeing
e
they were handing out
all
the e they were handing out to their guests.
I made a killing that night.
I wouldn't mind seeing some wedding dances gone wrong. I tweeted one out, but I'd like to see some more. I'm sure there are plenty of them out there.
I'm sure too.
And then if you were at a wedding where it went south, the worse the better. 1-800-520-1067. Omar says 10% of people try it. That's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I love it so much when good weddings go.
Taking calls from Kevin and Bean listeners right now at 1-800-520-1067 about this trend that is becoming increasingly common in recent years, that weddings are not enough. You can't just be, you watch a man and a woman, or a man and a woman just get married. Now it has to be an off-Broadway production. It has to be some sort of song and dance thing. And I think you're right, DJ Omar Khan, who does a lot of weddings. It's becoming an epidemic, man.
Yeah, it's going all over the place. But if you would like me to do your wedding, you could just
do it nice and classy
exactly.
and simple.
Just log on to djomarkhan.com. I'll hook you up. Or just email me directly at omar@kroq.com.
Although I do
much.
Have to say this, Omar won't play songs he doesn't like.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Yeah.
Now listen, he won't choreograph your entrance with fire hoops and turtle races or whatever it is you have planned.
Turtle races. That's awesome.
We are going to go to Aaron in Pasadena up first, but let's play this tape ahead of the calls. And this is from a recent wedding. This is in Lake Tahoe, California. Now, what's the deal? These are bridesmaids who decided they were going to do a medley of their favorite songs. Is that what we got?
They're supposed to be giving a toast. You know, the groomsman, the best man, and the maid of honor usually get up and give a toast at some point during the ceremony. So these two girls got up and did a medley of greatest hits.
They say that each song is supposed
songs.
To represent a different part of the newlyweds' relationship.
Oh,
so it's
I don't need a production. I don't need Mamma Mia. I don't need the whole ABBA catalog.
But Ralph, what if they can really sing?
But what if they can't? More importantly,
when we're a little kid, you didn't want boys around. You challenged them to any sport and win without a doubt. Johnny picked you from the bunch. One glance was all it took. Now you're married and no one can take a second look.
those girls?
Oh.
How about that?
If I'm at that wedding, my eyes would never stop rolling. I would just be looking at everybody going, can you effing believe this?
It was like 20 minutes long.
All right, let's get some calls on 1-800-520-1067. We start in Pasadena. Our man Aaron is up first. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, party people.
Nice to see you. What'd you do? Were you part of it?
No, I was not a part of it. These were just friends that I've known for over 10 years now. Got married recently, like 2 weeks ago, actually.
Okay, and what happened at the wedding?
That's kind of the part we were hoping for.
I guess at the last minute, the groomsmen decided to prance down to Final Countdown by Europe. So they all threw on, before they came out into the hall, threw on some corny $2 shades and just started doing some kooky-ass party dance. Sorry.
All right. And how did it go? How did it go over? Were you in the crowd or were you part of the...
People were just dying laughing, like, what is going on right now?
So would you say it was successful?
No.
Okay.
And then the bride very awkwardly had to walk down the aisle by themselves. It was really...
Okay. All right. Well, that's what we're talking about. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate the call. And I also appreciate the deep backstory on how long you've known the people and how long ago the wedding was. Yeah. That was all very helpful information.
I wonder what the parking situation was like there.
Oh, we forgot to ask.
I know that he loves you. I can't be you. I'm Mrs. Weaver.
How about Sumo in Los Angeles? He is on line one. This sounds like it's going to be another story of, in this case, the bride trying to overcomplicate the day.
Hey, Sumo.
How's it going, you guys?
Good, thank you.
Good morning.
We're talking about over-choreographed weddings.
So I DJ a lot of weddings, and I had this bride during the reception. I met with her before, and she wanted me to ask questions, like have a fun little game about her and the groom. And for a solid 20 minutes, I went through 3 pages of questions that she had printed out.
No.
And no one answered a single question.
So she had hired you to be the DJ. She gave you the list of questions. You had to ask them all.
Yes.
You couldn't have bailed? Like after 10 that got no answer, you couldn't bail? And go.
I looked her straight in the eye, and I was like, do you want me to go on? I gave her like that kind of stare, and she rolled her finger as if I should keep going and going through the list.
Was it like a game show kind of thing? Is that what she wanted?
Kind of. I was just asking questions like, oh, who can tell me where they first met or where they had their first kiss? For so 20 minutes, not a single answer.
After 12 minutes as a DJ, I'm all like...
That sounds like death on a stick for the poor people just sitting there at the tables who are just waiting for the food to come out.
Oh, my gosh. And the worst part about it was a dry wedding. So there's...
You don't do that at a dry wedding.
No.
There should never be a dry wedding.
That's unacceptable.
Unacceptable completely.
Thank you, Sumo.
If you're an Amish Muslim, I don't care. You have booze at your wedding.
By the way, is anyone less likely to have been nicknamed Sumo than that guy?
You're not fat, he is.
Let's talk to Nathan in Pasadena. He's on line four. He has a little bit of a wedding disaster on top of a choreography problem.
Hey, Nathan.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We are good.
All right, so I was at the wedding reception, and the wedding party did a choreographed dance.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman, who I believe was the grandmother of the groom, started having a heart attack in the back of the wedding.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
Yeah, so while we were all watching the wedding party do their thing, a lot of commotion was going on behind me, and I kept turning around, and people were going over to this table, and it became pretty evident that there was a heart attack or something wrong, obviously, going on with this woman. And as we all kind of looked to see what the wedding party was doing, the bride was adamantly yelling, keep going, keep going.
Oh, my God. Well, the show must go on, Nathan.
Oh, no.
Rice for the Broadway. Living. How many times have we said that?
This is Broadway, damn it.
It's what Grandma would have wanted.
You don't dim the lights of Broadway just for an old lady. Gotta dance.
It's an extra meal for somebody that day.
Oh, sister, now we have to let you go. Let you go, baby. Now you're 95%.
Stop it, people. That's what we're saying.
That's one of the songs they did, by the way.
Yeah, it was a medley.
Like a 20-minute medley.
It was a long medley.
So, Ralph, is it okay if the girls had a good time and the people at the wedding had a good time?
There's no losers there, if that's the case, right?
Sure.
Do you think everybody at that wedding had a good time listening to that for 20 minutes?
No, I don't.
See, then that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
If they all were right, amazing, if they got up and all of a sudden, you know, you don't expect anything but Dazeem starts singing, you know, and she blows you away, then everybody's like, wow, that was amazing. But don't get up there and do that then.
But here's bad karaoke.
But here's a tip. Even if you're good, keep it short.
Yes,
keep
absolutely.
Whatever you do, keep it short.
Good advice. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I was the guy who pulled up to my own wedding in a Batmobile.
That happened.
But that was for me, really, more than it was for anybody else.
It was way for you, because I remember Jimmy Kimmel saying to me, is there a bride in this wedding?
I was like, this is what I want to do for me. I'm showing up in this thing.
But it was also before the wedding.
It was before the wedding.
And then the wedding was fantastic.
But we didn't do any shenanigans during the wedding itself. Yeah.
No.
But
we're going to talk to our old friend Steve-O coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Also, actress Kristen Schaal in the 9 o'clock hour. That is coming up as well.
Allie, I one day would like to be in a coma. That's on my list of things I'd like to do. I know it sounds maybe surprising to you.
Yeah, really morbid, actually.
But I feel like, I want to come out of it. I don't want to die or stay in it. I'd like to be in a coma for sure. I feel like it would be the best sleep I ever got in my life. It would be so restful. You know, it's kind of like, shutting your computer down. It's
sure.
Just quiet.
How long would you like to be out?
Well, the thing about being in a coma is you don't know how long you're in there. I mean, I think if I was in a coma for 10 minutes, it would feel the same to me as being in a coma for a year, right? But I would just wake up and I'd be so refreshed.
All right.
And the reason I'm thinking about this is because there is a coma in the news. This is a great story about, at the time, he was 18 years old in 2004. His name is Jesus or Jesus Aparicio. He was involved in a car crash that left him in a coma. He just woke up last month from this coma. So he was in a coma for 11 years.
Wow.
And what's interesting about this guy is he was really into tennis. Like, that was his thing. An 18-year-old who was obsessed with Roger Federer, who at the time of the coma was the number one tennis player in the world. So one of the first things that Jesus did when he woke up was, hey, what's going on with Roger Federer?
Thinking, obviously, it's been 11 years.
11 years.
He can't be playing anymore, can he?
Right. What? Hey, catch me up with my favorite athlete, Roger Federer. What year did he retire? And they said, not only is he still playing, he's ranked number two in the world, and he's playing at the U.S. Open this weekend. So the guy came out of the coma in time to watch his hero, Roger Federer, play in the U.S. Open. Of course, he did lose that finals match, but at least he got to see it. But imagine how surprised you would be 11 years later that your guy is still playing tennis. But I'm so fascinated with what this guy's life is like now, having missed 11 years, and we have Jesus Aparicio on the phone with us right now. Jesus, thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me.
You must be so relieved to be out of that coma. That just must have been the happiest day of your life when you realized, hey, I'm alive.
Well, you know, when you're in a coma, you don't know you're in a coma. You just think you're sleeping, you know? So
it's
not like relieved or anything. I'm just like, oh, I went to sleep. Hey, wait, hold on a second. It's 11 years later? That's crazy.
11 years, yeah. Now, have you heard anything from Roger Federer? I'm sure he heard about your story, about what a big fan you are. Has he reached out to you at all?
No, I'm keep waiting. You know, I'm like, how about a card or just some flowers or a box of chocolate or a fruit basket or something, you know? But I get nothing from him. And I'm like one of his biggest fans. And, you know, I have like 11 years to catch up on his whole career, you know?
How surprised were you that he is not only still playing, but dominating?
And, oh, it's crazy, right?
Right.
I'm like, what's happening with Roger Federer? Is he still alive? And they say, alive? He's like playing tennis and everything. I'm like, damn. That's a lot of tennis, 11 years.
Right.
Yeah. So has it been a tough adjustment for you to get back into the world as it is in 2015? Have a lot of things changed for you, Jesus?
I'm ready to get back, you know, everything. First of all, I got to find out, is Ross and Rachel still together or not? Because I'm dying to see what's going on with those shows, because that's got to be 11 years. I got to catch up on all. I got to, like, binge watch all the Friends, you know, that I missed all this 11 years worth of shows.
They took a break, but
I think that show's been off for about 11 years.
Some stuff happened, yeah.
Yeah. Also, Lost, right? Like, what's going on with theirs? Like, what is it, with smoke monsters and stuff? So, is it like,
you don't want to know.
They get off the island?
We don't know. That one. Yeah, you might not want to find out.
It's best if you don't know, Jesus, on that one.
Hey, I'm a big fan of the news as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that finally they got rid of that liar Tom Brokaw. They put Brian Williams in the anchor chair for NBC Nightly News. And I'm so glad finally somebody I can trust, you know, because I watched that Tom Brokaw. I was like, I don't believe him. I think he's like a liar, you know. So yeah. Brian Williams, finally I can believe the news from somebody, you know.
Brian Williams made up a bunch of stuff, and he got fired too. So he's no longer in the NBC News chair. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Jesus.
Hey, how about Lance Armstrong? He won like six tours of France, huh? That's crazy. He's like best cycle guy ever. He's like my second favorite of all like athletes. First, Roger Federer, and then like Lance Armstrong. He's,
right,
he's so good.
Out
he's got
he
like
was...
one ball, but he still drives really fast on the bike.
Right.
So
he was
great,
right? He was juicy. It turned out he was cheating, and they stripped him of all of those Tour de France titles. So he didn't win anything. He's out. He's done. I'm sorry to have all this bad news for you, Jesus.
But Bush is still president, right? Like the greatest president ever for America because we finally got the war to get those WMDs out of all those places. That
well,
they have.
There weren't
got in there
any.
To go get all the weapons of mass destruction. It's like, yay, we're going to fight the wars and save everybody.
They didn't find those.
Yeah.
They didn't find those, and he's no longer president either. So, yeah, you missed a lot, Jesus.
But he's drawing dogs and stuff. He's painting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard they let gay people get married in Massachusetts. We nipped that in the bud, right?
I have to give Nat Faxon a lot of credit. He, of course, one of the co-stars of Married on FX Thursday nights at 10:30. I thought once he won his Academy Award, he would stop coming into the Kevin and Bean Show. But like clockwork, man, every year he stops by for his visit.
That's
and he
right.
is here right now on
Kevin. Right.
How
once
are you,
a year.
Man?
Once a year.
That's about right. Once a year is about all you need from Kevin and Bean, right?
Yeah. And it's probably about all you can handle of me as well.
I think it works out. I think our relationship's in a good place now.
It is. I wish I had this relationship with more people, actually.
So how have you been, sir? What's going on? What have you been up to?
I've been very well, thank you. We just finished our second season of Married.
Finished shooting it.
Yes,
right.
Finished shooting it. Okay. Yep, it's airing now. And so it's been good. I've had a little time off. Went back east to Boston.
You went to
there
Boston?
It is.
Wow. Are you from?
Kevin threatened to turn their mics off for bringing up Boston, and he did it.
I said whoever talks about Boston gets their mics cut.
I know. Well, I had to endure a lot of the, you know, Tom Brady bashing from you guys while I was in the
Thank
waiting
you.
Area.
As you should
Thank
have.
You.
Yeah.
It's horrible, right?
It is horrible.
He's
Thank
a
you.
Horrible man. You're right.
How
hey,
dare
listen,
you.
Speaking of Boston, I saw something. What, did you just cut my mic off?
Yep.
I saw. Are you involved? Is there some
reflex?
Is there some campaign, Nat, to get you to Fenway? Is that what's happening now?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, I went on the Rich Eisen show with my co-star, Judy Greer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, you know, he boasted that he can make a lot of things happen.
Mm.
And one of the things he said, I got somebody to throw out the first pitch who's a big Seattle fan, and I got them to throw out the first pitch. And so I said, well, then make it happen at Fenway for
right.
me, Rich. And he was like, I can do that, and I will promise to do that. So
wow.
I'm waiting on the delivery.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And if Rich fails, I will bash him physically
yeah.
and mentally.
Now, tell me in your mind how you envision that going, because you were a little kid probably growing up as a Red Sox fan and you pictured at some point, maybe for many points in your life, pitching for that team.
Yes.
Like you, the eyes of the world being on you standing on the mound at Fenway Park and winning Game 7 of the World Series.
That's true.
When you walk out there as a, you know, 40-year-old man
yeah.
and hope okay. to get the ball to the plate – is it going to live up to your dreams, do you think? Are you going to make it come alive for you?
Yeah, I'm going to milk every second out of yeah. that thing. I'm going to wear a full outfit. I'm going to wear a, you know.
They're called uniforms now.
Oh, is that what they are? Okay, got it. Okay, got it.
You going to shake your head no to the catcher a bunch just to stretch it on?
Yeah, I'm going to do a huge leg kick and then probably throw it like 4 miles wide.
You
out
should
the plate.
Turn and throw it to first base. That's what you should do.
Has anybody ever done that? Done a pickoff attempt?
Pickoff a runner? That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
I don't think so.
Guys, let's do that.
That's a great idea.
Will you guys come and be a part of that?
Is it in Boston?
I will.
Yes.
No. Yeah, Allie will. Kevin, any advice for Nat as he prepares to throw out a first pitch?
Bean says that because I've thrown out a first pitch twice.
Really?
For the Dodgers.
Both times in the dirt.
Wow.
Second time fell on my face.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
And I didn't picture, like, I didn't lay awake before going, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to fall on my face. I thought it was going to be good like you do right now.
Right.
And then it didn't go so
yeah,
well.
I got some advice. Judy actually gave me a lot of advice.
Has she done it?
She has done it. She did it for the Dodgers this season.
Okay.
And
awesome.
She tried to get me to do it with her and said, you know, this would be a good thing for married.
First pitch. First pitch.
Oh, being the first pitch. And I just got that, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. It's early still. Yeah. I said, no, I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to ruin my chances of doing it at Fenway Park.
Oh,
I felt
right.
like
so
I would.
If you did it at Dodger Stadium, you're afraid they would go, no, that guy did it at Dodger.
Yes.
Really?
I kind of, and well, I was also fearful that I would have to wear like a, you know, a Eric Gagne jersey or like
good
a
pull.
Yeah.
Really? Pull.
I don't know why he's the first guy I thought of.
Not sure.
He played for the Dodgers 17 Karoo? Years ago.
I think that was smart.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't want to go out there and be like, go Dodgers, when I'm not like a huge Dodger fan. You know?
You did the
so
right thing.
I didn't want to spoil my, you know, fandom. But she did say that she practiced and like threw like 60 pitches a day for like a week or
something.
Yeah,
oh, my God. I practiced. It doesn't help.
No?
No.
She said you got to throw high, like throw up because you're higher on the mound. So she said you got to throw up towards like basically the hat of the catcher.
Here's hat.
Well, he's not wearing his mask. He's not.
Here's my advice to you: is just throw it high, no matter what. Because if it sails, you're like, wow, that guy's got it. Like he's too strong.
Yeah,
he needs to bring him when you in the dirt short. It's a little embarrassing.
I saw Paul Pierce, and I felt terrible for the guy.
Oh,
yeah, that was embarrassing.
That's tough.
Yeah,
I think it's a lot further than you expect it to be, especially if you don't play baseball. You walk out there, and it's a really long way.
Yeah, I got to give Judy credit.
60.6.
She made it the whole way and high, and she didn't dirt it.
Wow. She was high when she showed up?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Super no, high. She smokes a lot of weed.
The show's called Married. It airs Thursday nights at 10:30 on FX. It is so funny. This season, by the way, I mean, last season was great. This season, I think, is even better. I mean, I don't know if that's a thing that happens when you get the rhythm and the writers know what they're doing and stuff, but it's so relaxed and so fun, and you guys are really doing great work over there.
No, thank you very much. I agree. I do think it's... You know, when you get a season on your belt and people, you know, the writers are more familiar with your character. They know how to write for you. You're more familiar with your castmates. There's going to be the bell, isn't there? No. Less so.
He didn't get
it. Why don't you let us handle the bell?
We're professionals. We don't try to write your show.
Okay? I still want the bell.
And everybody still wants you and Judy to be married in real life when they meet you, right?
Yes, they do. It's
that's a compliment to your portrayal on television because you guys look like a for real married couple.
I know. It's very... She takes it too far, though. She makes me, like, be her husband when we're on set and when we're off. Like, I have to carry her bags. I have to pack
groceries for her.
Yeah. She takes it too far. But I'm sort of like the dumb puppy dog that just does it. So it's probably my own
fault. She's Judy Greer. So
she is Judy Greer.
She do what she says.
She's a national goddamn treasure. All right. Nat Faxon is here only because we couldn't get Judy. We'll take a break, come back with more with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
I don't feel like we needed to watch both of those.
I think Nat's feeling a lot better about throwing out a first pitch at a game now that he's seen your two efforts.
Boy, I tell you, that second one, that knee just buckles
hard.
Well,
I mean, it's sad, if that's what you're saying.
I'm saying a lot more than that.
Yeah,
actually.
I think so. Pathetic. Okay.
Nat Faxon is here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Of course, you know him probably best as an actor from the TV show Married on FX Thursday nights at 10:30. Hey, that means tonight, you guys. Nat is also an Academy Award winner. You and Mr. Rash, Jim Rash, wrote The Descendants, if I remember correctly.
We did. We did. Yeah. Believe it or not.
I just remember the night of the Oscars when you guys came out on stage. I was like, what? Those guys are hilarious. They're jumping up on stage instead of the real dudes who must have written that movie. We were just so surprised, especially Jim, because he's the freaking dean at Greendale. Like, how did that guy write a movie? You know what I mean?
I know. I see people on the street and they don't. Equate me with Academy Award. They equate me with like Beer Fest. They're like, that's that dude from Beer Fest. And I'm like, yeah, well, I did that, and I also did some other things. And they're like, no, it's just Beer Fest.
This is going to sound like a really dumb question, but I mean it sincerely, Nat, and I'm actually sincerely interested in it. Is it the type of thing that you forget about sometimes? Like you go days or weeks at a time where it never crosses your mind? Or after you win an Oscar, is it something that crosses your mind, even if it's fleetingly every single day?
It It doesn't cross my mind all that much, to be honest, until I talk about it with other people, and then I sort of remember, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I did do that. It still feels, honestly, that surreal and that unbelievable, in a sense.
I'd like wear the Oscar on a necklace.
Right? Yeah.
I'd put a Flava Flav-style necklace on.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I have it with me right now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. No, I have a special suitcase, like... It's like an attaché case in the shape of the Oscar.
Like, you know, Oscar what's weird? Cozy. That would be the best.
I asked that a similar question. We had Buzz Aldrin on a few years ago, and I asked him a similar question. Once you've been to the moon, is it possible to ever, like, not think about that? Like, every single night, my whole life, I would look up and go, been there. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I would never stop thinking about the fact that I stood on the moon. He said, no, it's not. He doesn't think about it.
That's
you know what I mean?
So funny. You know what? After I won the Oscar, we went to that Vanity Fair party, and the first person I ran into was Buzz Aldrin.
That's a weird coincidence.
It was so bizarre. And we took a picture together, and I was like, this is the most effed up night of my life, honestly. Like, what is happening to me? You know? It was really cool. Something I obviously will never forget, but it does feel sort of like a dream in a sense. Like, you know, it almost didn't happen.
You guys, what did you write after that? You wrote another movie after that was really good, too.
Yeah, we did the movie called The Way, Way Back.
That's right.
So yes.
Steve Carell. That was so good.
Yeah,
that was
really thank good. You.
Now, when you write a movie and you don't win an Oscar, is it kind of disappointing?
It is. Yeah, it's a total
people are going to go, failure?
Yeah. We did win the AARP Award, though, for grown-ups. Movie for grown-ups Award.
Okay.
So
well,
it felt
just
the
as
same.
Good.
It felt the same.
It's roughly the
know?
Same.
Yeah. It felt just as good.
All right. This is the voice of Nat Faxon again here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about, among other things, his show Married tonight on FX, which is so funny, with America National Treasure Miss Judy Greer. You said something on Conan the other night that I'd never heard you talk about before that I was interested in, too, and that is that you play in an adult hockey league.
I do.
And
yes.
You don't just play in it. You are serious about it. Now, you're not Canadian, right?
I'm not. No. Boston.
Right.
I'm sorry, where?
Yeah. Boston.
Oh.
Where'd your love of hockey come from? From growing up a Bruins fan?
Yes.
Let him talk. Put his mic back on.
He's literally dry heaving over there.
Look, I got to do what I got to do. Those are the rules.
Yes, I was a diehard Bruin fan growing up. You know, the Ray Bourque, Cam Neely era, and even before that. Rick Middleton, Barry Peterson. Come on, I can keep going.
Keep going.
Don't feel like you need to.
No.
Now, what position do you play?
I play right wing.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And did you start as an adult, or did you play as a teen?
No, I played as a kid.
Wow.
We had a pond. Pond hockey was huge where I grew up, and we had a pond, like, on my street. So I would, every day after school, just walk down there with my skates and play pickup. And it was awesome. One of the things I do miss about living in Southern California is that not having that. But, I love it. I feel like I get all my aggression out on that in that hour every week.
How good are you?
I mean, I net some G's. Come on. You can say that, right? I can net some G's. No, I feel like I got to that point in high school where everybody then just started getting a lot better, and I just kind of stayed the same. Yeah, so then it just, you know.
Are you a physical presence? Is everybody afraid when you skate over their direction?
More
you an enforcer?
More just because I'm a little out of control.
You might run into him on accident.
Yeah. No, I like to mix it up, but it's funny because I was saying on Conan, like, I have to wear the cage, and you can't. If you're wearing a cage, it's hard to be tough.
Sure.
People just are like, you're the biggest wussy in the world because you're wearing a cage.
But you're like, this is my moneymaker.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I can't.
But you're like, I'm an actor. I have to. So.
And no one else does?
No, some people do, but I probably would say half do and half don't, you know?
Right.
But I don't know. I think, like, just having a huge, you know, gash across your face from, like, adult men's hockey is a little sad, you know?
Why? I would go, hockey, what up?
He's an actor. That's his moneymaker.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I get to put on makeup every day. Yeah.
When you are a star, you know, when you're carrying a big hit to a TV show, are there a lot of things they don't allow you to do? I mean, is that an insurance thing? Like, you can't skydive or swim with sharks or anything crazy?
I think there are a lot of things, and
I like that you just don't
think
that. You don't have any idea. For real. You don't know for real.
No, I know.
Seems like there should be.
I did once long ago in my career. I played in a hockey game, and I got my mask. Like, I was on a breakaway, and this guy and I were sort of like, he kind of pulled me down from behind on my way to score a goal, obviously.
Sure.
And I fell down, and I
basically slammed right into the post of the net post. Ooh. And my whole cage that was all rusty anyway, like, exploded and went into my face.
Wow.
And I had a... Why is that going to ding? I don't know why we're celebrating that. Why? It's true.
It exploded.
I don't get them.
Yeah.
I'm so slow
that
on that.
It's better.
Well, you're the new guy. That's what it is. You'll get used to it.
But I did have, like, I had to go to the hospital and I had to get stitches, and then I was supposed to shoot a car commercial the next day. Oh, and they made me send a picture of my face the next morning, and they were like, "How bad is it?" And then they basically said, "You can't ever come in here again."
Ever?
Yeah. So.
Because they were scared of you.
They were scared, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
This league that you play in, is it Hollywood types? Is it other people in the business?
There are some. In the league, less so, but in the I do some, like, pickup skates during the week, and there are the other night I played with a couple of guys that are Hollywood types. Mm-hmm. Jerry Bruckheimer does a thing on Sundays, which I don't do, but there's a thing on Monday night that I do that has a few. I played against Taylor Kitsch the other night.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good player.
Awesome. Yeah. Hey, how has it been for you seeing the phenomenal success of the Kings and before that the Ducks in Southern California? Were you able to enjoy that at all, or just you can't get on board because you're still a Bruins fan?
No, I was on board with that, actually. There's being from Boston, there's, you know, I can't support the Lakers just because of their history.
Yeah, you can't. Sure. It's in your blood, right?
Right. And the Dodgers kind of a little bit the same, but I will support the Kings.
You'll accept the Kings.
I will, yeah, because I think they're a good team, and they're fun to root for, and I like their style of play. I'm, you know, upset that Milan Lucic is now
I just wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about that. I'm so excited.
He's awesome, and he'll be great for the Kings. He fits their style
great
of play.
Great for the community, too. He does so much with charities. It's going to be great.
Yeah, so I'm jealous that he's now here. But I do support them. I can rally around the Kings, and their success has been awesome, I feel like, for Southern California hockey.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nat Faxon is here. We're almost out of time. Married airs tonight again. What are we up to? Episode, I want to say we're like at number 5 or something?
Yeah, I think there's been 4, so this is probably 5 tonight.
Great season. You can see all of season 1 and is streaming on Hulu, but you should watch the new episode tonight at 10:30 on Fox. I think we have a clip, and this is where Judy's character, who is Lena, is that right?
Yeah.
She's having some trouble with the daughter, and, you know, teenage girls can be tough, and I think you hear about that in this scene.
Come here. Give me a hug. I love you.
Hey, what about me? Did you see that?
What?
You get a huge hug, and I get bitch face.
I think that's her regular face.
Yeah, when she hates something.
Come on. She doesn't hate you, and really, you can't be mad at her for bitch face.
Why not?
Because she got it from you.
What?
Yeah. Sometimes you make bitch face.
I do not.
Yeah, original bitch face. Hey, there it is.
I love that you almost always say the wrong thing to your wife on that show.
I know.
Somehow get away with it. Gives the rest of us hope, Nat.
It's true. It's fun when it's Judy Greer on the other end. Yeah.
That's true. Great show. Great to see you again. We'll do it again in a year, my friend.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. You bet.
We have Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille.
Yes.
Coming in studio to talk about hockey.
How'd you
watch
find
the
out?
Game last night? Were you thinking, Luke, it's time for you to go in, like we always do? Whenever they lose a game, we say, that's because you didn't put Luke in.
Yeah. So he should have gone in very early. It's not a great game.
Well, it's very exciting to have hockey back. Always fun to have Luke back.
Why, when you see the story, do you think of me?
Everyone.
Why are people tweeting and emailing and saying, hey, this is about you?
Well,
why is
lots
that
of reasons.
Why is that
for lots of reasons. First of all, the kid that we're talking about, the University of Kentucky kid who's been in the news this week, is
Connecticut.
Heavily invested in mac and cheese. Okay? And that's kind of your thing, mac and cheese.
I love mac and cheese.
Second of all, he has no respect for authority. He ignores direction. He sounds drunk.
Right.
That's just 4 or 5 Same. Things off the top of my head as to why people are thinking of you. But I have a better question, Kevin, and not that it's not all about you, but what happened to America, man? I thought America was a country where a dude could get a bacon jalapeno mac and cheese and live his life.
Apparently not.
Apparently that's not the kind of country we live in anymore. If you haven't seen this story yet, this student, he's 19 years old. He has been asked to leave the Union Street Market on campus at University of Connecticut. He seems very, very drunk, and he just insists that he just wants them to give him some bacon jalapeno mac and cheese. Now, Ali, you've followed the story more closely than I have.
Do they not serve it there? Why wouldn't they give him the mac and cheese?
I think because he had an open container and he was drunk. That was okay. The first thing. They're like, hey, maybe not now, kid.
He brought in alcohol. Well, they asked him how old he was. He said 19.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't make it legal.
No.
And he didn't take that news well.
No.
And he,
no.
He berated everybody in the place. And he used some very inappropriate and offensive language. And eventually the cops were called. And he did get arrested. And if I recall from the story, he was booted from the university too, right?
Yeah, second university he's been kicked out of. So he's a sweet little spirit.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Here's a little of the audio of that.
You're a idiot. You want to get just help? Bacon,
it's a little hard to understand, but he is saying you're an effing tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I'm going to get expelled.
Uh-huh.
Just give me some mac and
right.
cheese.
Just give me some mac and cheese.
They're not going to give me bacon mac and cheese. I just denied you. You can't come in here with an open bottle of booze. Think about it. Think. Ask me to go in here. If you want to just walk in with open bottle. Hey, can I have a knife here in here?
No.
Why not? Why not?
Very hungry. That tape is a mess.
At some point, he does shove the manager, and then they all jump on top of him.
My name's McCloven. Like, just give me my bacon, mac, and cheese, and I'll leave. I don't see the issue.
Oh.
Stay down.
That's one of the chefs.
Yeah.
You are down. Stay down.
By the way, I know we've seen a lot of videos of violence in the streets and police and citizen altercations over the last few years, but is this the whitest video ever?
It's pretty white.
This kid is in there getting into an argument about whether he can get mac and cheese or not. These are white people problems.
Yeah.
Well, we thought we'd get to the bottom of this story. Now, hopefully, he is sobered up, but he doesn't have all those pesky classes to go to since he's been expelled. Luke Gotti joins us on the phone, former University of Connecticut student, and he's up next here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hi, Luke.
What's going on?
Well, we're just trying to figure out what was going through your head when you created that firestorm.
What, man? What?
What was going? Why were you so adamant about getting?
With your tool.
I'm just asking why you wanted the mac and cheese so bad that you're willing to.
I was hungry, okay? I was hungry.
Right.
And I could only order off the children's menu. I don't like food that you have to chew much. And I like food that is very soft and creamy cheesy.
Now, you sounded drunk on the video, Luke, and to be honest.
I'm just drunk. What's America?
Right.
America,
it is,
okay?
Yeah.
America.
Yeah. But you sound drunk
America,
now. I'm just
okay, it's America.
Right.
All right.
I was asking. You sound drunk. Are you drinking now?
I can't have beer in here. What? I can't have beer in an interview. Can't have beer in an interview. It's America. Can I have beer in an interview? Anyone? Can I have beer in an interview? That's what I thought. Okay. Just give me my mac and cheese, man.
Well, we're on the phone.
Well,
we don't have mac and cheese to give you.
Mail me some mac and cheese. Mail me some Jake and Pelicano mac and cheese.
Are you?
Just give me the mac and cheese, man. I'm so hungry.
Do you regret the incident that got you kicked out of school?
I'm not even. Yeah, I'm kicked out of school. Okay, just give me the bacon mac and cheese.
Luke, you have been kicked out of school.
Okay, yeah, I'm kicked out of school. Give me mac and cheese.
Okay,
give me I'll pay for it.
Right,
I'll pay for it. I'll
right.
pay for it. Just give me the mac and cheese. Why can't I have mac and cheese?
Well, we don't have it, I think is what we're saying.
Just give it to me.
Okay. But we really don't.
Look at radio DJ. Oh, I'm radio DJ. I'm talking to everybody on the radio. You know, this is going to be posted someplace.
Right.
You're going to look like a tool.
Right.
Yeah, that's what you said to the guy who filmed your video, too.
You
now who looks like a tool.
Yeah, right. Right.
No, I'm saying you do. I'm saying you're the guy who looks bad.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Luke,
What's your life plan, son? I don't feel like you're making good choices.
Our first plan is get some bacon, jalapeno, mac and cheese.
Good.
That's the first part of the plan. And the second part that doesn't even matter is because I just wanted to make him the color standard cheese.
What?
Whoa.
What
was that idea?
I want bacon, jalapeno, and cheese.
Jalapeno.
Mac and
cheese. Right, give it to me.
Okay.
What's wrong with you, man? Dude, I'm so effed. I'm so thoroughly effed.
Yeah.
Where are my shoes? Who got my shoes? Can I have my shoes, please? This is America. Where's my American shoes?
And Kevin, now you know why everybody thought of you.
How dare.
Our friend Petros Papadakis breaks down the first two episodes of Bachelor in Paradise. He's on the BIP. That'll be in the 7 o'clock hour here this morning. And actor Joel Edgerton coming up as well. We were talking about in the meeting yesterday about these Kurt Cobain photos that apparently are not going to be released. There's a guy named Richard Lee who became quite well known in Seattle in the late 1990s because he had a public access show. Kevin, I know you love public access.
I do.
Because anyone can go in and make a TV show.
Yeah, they're usually really bad.
And his whole thing was every week he would go on and rave about Courtney Love killing Kurt Cobain. That was his whole topic. Is a half an hour a week he would go on and talk about all the so-called evidence that Kurt Cobain did not commit suicide, that he was murdered, and that his wife was responsible for it. Okay, and this went on for years. This guy was so obsessed with this topic. Well, he's back in the news because he attempted to sue the city of Seattle and its police department for blocking the release of the photos that were taken at the Kurt Cobain death scene. All right, so he basically sued the city and said, "You public information, you have to release those to the public."
Is that true of anyone?
It wasn't in this case. A judge disagreed. Superior Court Judge Teresa Doyle, during a 40-minute hearing, dismissed the claim, saying that Lee's request for the death scene photos were exempt from the public records disclosure laws. I don't know how they determine what the public is entitled to see and what they aren't. You know, we hear a lot of Freedom of Information Act requests that result in material being turned over that had previously been sealed. But in this case, the judge said no. So we started talking in the meeting yesterday about I was so grateful to hear that these photos were not going to be released to the public. I would never look at these photos in a million years. I have no interest whatsoever in seeing Kurt Cobain's head blown off. But I think if they came out, I feel like they would get millions of hits. I feel like there are lots of people who would want to see that.
Yeah, I don't know how many.
I think morbid curiosity.
Really?
For a lot of people.
Think about what a huge star he is.
Right.
I mean, look, celebrity drives clicks. We all know that. The difference between a celebrity in a nude photo and a sex tape versus a person you never heard of in a photo or sex tape. I mean, it's astronomical. It's millions of times more, right? And I think that people might not. I think there are a lot of people out there who wouldn't be interested in just some regular police, you know, report of some guy who killed himself. But I think that it's Kurt Cobain. Yeah, I think a lot of people would want to see that.
Wow, I'm not one of them. Not one of them at all. Mm-mm.
No interest.
None. Zero.
Same.
And not just him. I don't want to see anyone dead.
No.
I don't need to see any photo of any person dead.
Just a tiny peek. Mm-mm. Just look at it real fast and look away.
No.
Just
no
quarter of your
how
eye.
How high your voice gets me.
Just out of the corner of your eye. Just a tiny little bit. Just
but what's the... Why? I don't... I feel like the people who would look at this would look at all. Like anybody else that has a death photo. I just feel like it's that type of person, and I'm not that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, I may be a little bit squeamish, even though I do the – and by the way, let me just say this real quick. If you would look at the Kurt Cobain photo, please call. I would be interested to know why and what kind of person you are. 1-800-520-1067. I'm a little bit squeamish. I mean, there were two different videos this week of people getting sucked into escalators.
Oh, I watched those.
Oh, man.
You
did?
What
yeah,
if,
I
you
did?
Yeah. Did you watch the one of the woman being pulled out and
yes,
holding,
and
handing
her
baby?
Her baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then she got dragged down into
yes.
the gears of the escalator. And then there was another guy over the weekend who lost his leg in an escalator. Did you watch that one?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
See,
even that's too much for me.
And did you know before you clicked on it that that's what it was, that they died?
The first one, I didn't.
Didn't know.
I thought, oh, why are they staring down at this lady on an escalator? Oh, my God. It was just insane.
Did
and
she
then
die?
I believe she
the
did
The one
die.
She died. Yeah, she got shoot up in the gears of the escalator.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you just see her disappear. So it's just, which I don't know. It almost makes it worse. You just see them just go.
Oh,
I mean,
man, that's
you
scary.
Don't see him again. Yeah, I did watch those.
I have
well,
no interest
I
in that.
Yeah.
Me neither. Did you? Yeah. Do you regret seeing it?
No. I regret that I will have to take an escalator at some point, and that's all I will think about.
It's going to make it much worse?
Yeah.
All right. So thing two. So the Kurt Cobain photos are not coming out. And by the way, as you can imagine, Courtney Love and Frances Bean, her daughter, they were like, thank God, right? Our family doesn't want to go through this again, reopen all those old wounds. So that happened, and we talked about that yesterday off the air, and that's why I wanted to bring it on today. Since then, TMZ is reporting that photos of Bobby Christina, her body lying in a casket, have been taken and sold to a media outlet for over $100,000.
Same answer.
No way, right?
Not interested at all.
Who are the people who want to see this dead 22-year-old laying in her casket?
I don't know.
Nobody's paying six figures because people aren't interested in seeing that. There has to be an audience out there for that material, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. That's a lot of money to spend on it.
And she's, I mean, she's only even famous by association, but yeah. Still enough people would want to see Bobby Christina in the casket to pay that kind of money. I don't get that at all. Although, by the way, the same thing happened to her mom. There were Whitney Houston photos that were snapped and released too, if you'll recall.
Not interested.
So it makes me wonder who in those families is looking at this as an opportunity to make money.
Yeah.
Why is everyone taking pictures of these dead people?
Let's talk to Edwin real quick. San Pedro, he's on line three. And Muggs, I'm glad you're in here. I want to talk to you, too.
All right.
Hey, Edwin.
Yes.
So you would look at these photos?
Yes, I would. Actually, about 10 years ago, online, I heard about leaked out autopsy pictures.
Uh-huh. Of Kurt Cobain?
I was trying to. Yes.
Okay.
Kurt Cobain. And I looked through, and sure enough, there was a picture of him.
Wow.
Already, like, autopsied. Yeah, it was pretty gruesome. I don't want to describe what it was.
We can all imagine. I mean,
yeah, he blew his head off. Why were you interested in seeing that photo, Edwin?
Well, because I grew up in that era. I was in high school when he shot himself.
Right.
So, yeah, we all loved him and loved his music. But why would you want to see it?
I don't know. Curiosity. I mean, he was the greatest.
We understand that. We're with you on everything that you're saying about Kurt Cobain.
Unless that's Edward's only explanation is he so much, he's such a huge star and a huge influence that he wants to see everything related to him.
Yes, it was curiosity mostly, and I wish I didn't, though. I wish I didn't.
You now wish you didn't.
All right, let me ask you this, Edwin. Did you read his diaries that were published?
I read a few, but...
Okay. All right. So, all right. So you're just a huge right. Kurt Cobain fan. You want to see everything there is now. All right. Thank you for the call. How about you, Muggs? You look at these photos or no?
I think the old Muggs would have...
Old Muggs?
The old Muggs would have done this because I did it with Chris Farley, the scene, the actual scene photos where they found him dead. And after I did
What did
that,
he die of? A heart attack?
Overdose.
Overdose,
just,
okay.
Yeah. And they have pictures online, and I was just curious because, you know... Not like it's a good reason, but Chris Farley was like one of my idols, and that messed me up forever. I didn't really see him the same. It just screwed his image up for me, and I don't think I would do that with another celebrity like Kurt Cobain.
So, in other words, now the lasting image in your mind of Chris Farley is the death scene photo rather than the movies.
Exactly. It just screws you up, I think.
So you've matured.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
Wow. Mugs 2.0.
Nice.
Let's talk to Irene real quick. She's in industry. She's on line five. We'll give her the final word because we're almost out of time here. Irene, we're talking about whether you would have looked at the Kurt Cobain death photos had they not been blocked for release by this judge. And you say yes. Why?
I don't know why. I've seen Biggie Smalls and I've seen Tupac, and there's just something about it that I would like to see.
Try to articulate it for me.
He's a famous. They're famous. We like their music. There's something about them that we really enjoy.
Right.
And I guess I'd have to see. I like to see their history. It's not just I just want to see them dead. I've seen their pictures of when they were alive, when they were younger, how they grew up.
Right. We've all seen those, but this just seems like an extra step that most of us wouldn't take.
Maybe is it like a sense of closure? Like,
yeah, maybe.
But isn't, and can't we all agree on this, that Kurt Cobain with a head is better than Kurt Cobain without a head?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that's probably an easy one to agree on.
I can get for normal people, maybe.
Normal people. Okay.
All right.
All right, let's back away from Irene.
Disconnect from her immediately.
Hey, I know we have a very busy 7 o'clock hour coming up with Jimmy Kimmel and the band Churches, but at some point, we need to do that grand prize drawing. We're supposed to do that between 7 and 8, Sweet Life with Muse. Somebody who won on K-Rock last week is going to win a suite at the Staples Center for their show on December 19th, is going to win a suite at the Ritz-Carlton, is going to get a limo ride to the show, going to introduce the band, and $25,000. So we're practically changing somebody's life just by doing a drawing here this morning. So that's coming up between 7 and 8 here on K-Rock.
All right, let's talk about a Playboy. I don't know that we've talked about this enough on this program, but Playboy has made a decision that they're going to stop putting nude photos in their magazines.
Mm-hmm. Well, Playboy's not known for nude women, so I guess no one's going to miss that.
Odd, right?
But you kind of see why they're doing it, right?
Well, yes, but
Who's going to Playboy for the nudes at this point?
But who's going to Playboy for other stuff?
Well, the decision has been made, and it is, I think February maybe, I heard, is going to be the last centerfold, and then no more naked pictures. And they're hoping, the hope is, because they think people are seeing naked pictures everywhere else, the hope is that their writing will be good enough, their features, their star power, their articles and whatnot will be good enough that people will buy it as a general interest magazine, because they're not going to it for the nudes anymore. And a lot of people are saying, hey, look, it's a crazy idea, but maybe it'll work. But one person has spoken up against it and said that it is a ridiculous and terrible idea. It is being mocked by Larry Flint, our old friend, who is still publishing Hustler magazine with tons of naked women in it. He thinks that Hugh Hefner over at Playboy has lost his mind. And we wanted to find out more about this because he would understand a lot more about the business of selling pornography than we do. And Mr. Larry Flint joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Larry.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
It's great to talk to you again. So you're on CNN the other day, and you said it's a silly move your longtime friend Hugh Hefner has done.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, Playboy is legendarily known for beautiful naked women.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I can't understand why Hefner would take away one of the major selling points of his magazine.
Well, I mean, I think you have seen their explanation is just that people aren't buying the magazine. Their sales are so far down, and they think that they are losing the competition to naked women pictures everywhere else, including your magazine.
Yeah, but no one is going to buy the magazine more because there's less naked women in it. I don't understand the business model.
Well, I think they think that the magazine can now be sold in different places that historically wouldn't have sold it before because it was Playboy.
Elementary schools? Are they looking to expand their audience to preschools? Where is he going to pick up readers?
They could put it at the at supermarket checkout lines, for instance, or in drugstores and places like that wouldn't carry pornography.
Right. Many housewives are going to say, finally, I can buy and read Playboy. Now that there aren't naked women in it anymore, I can get all those jokes that I missed out on.
But what about the silly cartoons, Larry?
Right. I mean, listen, I understand. It's hard in the magazine business.
Sure.
These days in general. But if you want to rebrand the magazine and have more features that'll appeal to more people, that's one thing. But don't take away the boobies.
Okay. I mean, in general, I agree with in principle, don't take away the boobies ever. I'm with you.
I mean, Hefner has lost his old mind.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And as a reaction to what he's doing, we here at Hustler magazine, we're going to go in the opposite direction.
Okay.
We've decided that just showing nude women isn't enough.
Okay.
We have to get deeper than that. We have to go beyond a woman's nudity, and we're going to start publishing photographs of their insides.
Oh, You mean like organs and stuff?
Yeah, a lot of photo layouts of laparoscopies, of bile ducts and gallbladders.
That sounds like that might be a little worse of an idea than Hugh Hefner's.
X-rays. We're going to show x-rays of hot women. Okay. Oh, man, you should see this girl's femur that's going to be in the next issue. Oh, man, you haven't seen a femur like this before. And it's all natural, too. It's an all-natural femur.
Sure. Right, I think those are the only kind. But I don't think that that sounds sexy at all.
Colonoscopies?
No.
Colonoscopy?
No.
A young lady. Many people say we practically do that anyway.
Well, yeah, you get it pretty tight with the camera, don't you, Larry?
Instead of the penthouse pets, we're now going to have the penthouse pet scam, where you get to see the entire body and bone density, and, it's hot.
Okay. Do we need to give you a private moment here, Larry?
I've got just boxes and boxes of medical images
right
downstairs in my basement of the office here. I know in the past I've forgotten that I was in a wheelchair and I would try to walk down.
Right, and it never worked out well.
It never worked out. So I'm just going to take my wheelchair and go down the stairs.
That's even a worse idea.
Here we go.
Oh, no. Larry, that's even a worse idea.
Ow.
Careful, Larry.
Oh, there is boxes over there. Let me just walk over and
get No, don't do that. You can't. You're paralyzed. Larry.
My x-rays are going to be in the next issue.
Kevin, Mr. Chance writes in, Stryker, unbelievable. There's no effing way. What the heck is wrong with you? I demand that Beer Mug or whoever bring in some coffee, some peanut butter, and some watermelon right now. Unbelievable. This needs to happen today. He's referring to the conversation we were just having with our friend Stryker, who's in on the showbiz beat today. A few minutes ago, he mentioned to us that in his life, he has never tried coffee or watermelon or peanut butter. And that is hard to understand. We were going to talk about something else, Ted, but seriously, how damaged are you?
All right, let me ask you a couple of qualifying questions. You're not allergic to peanuts?
Not at all.
Okay.
How would he know?
Good point.
Well, I like eating peanuts at Dodger games. I like those.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, you like peanuts. Why not make the jump?
How did you not – you have to – don't you actively try to not taste those things? At this point, hasn't everybody just – eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a piece of watermelon.
No, as I mentioned.
Coffee.
Nope.
But I'm saying, have you actively avoided it? It just never came up in your life?
It never came
That's
up in my
possible.
Life.
It's not possible.
It's not possible.
It isn't possible.
Stryker.
Yes.
When you started going out with your friends at Denny's at night when you were 20 and everybody else got coffee. What made you not say, I'll have a cup of coffee to go with my eggs and bacon, too?
It is the heat of the liquid. It is the time it takes to consume it. It takes too long. I don't like the smell. The color freaks me out. The peanut butter texture, the smell, I don't like that.
It's a texture
and
thing.
And I know there's seedless watermelon now. But it just looks like it's just too much of a hassle and dirty to eat. And I don't like touching the food. I don't like germs. I don't like that stuff.
You know how difficult it could be to eat watermelon.
It is. It's a pain in the ass.
How are you with hot tea?
I've had it less than 13 times in my life.
How do you know that number?
Could you be more specific?
Because the first time I had tea was probably... I think the first time was like 2.5 or 3 years ago here at work. I wasn't feeling well. And one of the phone ops said, hey, we have this tea. Do you want to do it? I'm like, fine, I'll do it. And it wasn't that bad. And then probably 12 times in the last 3 years, I haven't felt terrific. So I've had the tea.
And how did you do with the temperature of the beverage?
Well, I had 4 hours in here listening to Sublime. I was fine.
All right. So coffee.
Yeah.
It's just it's too hot. It takes too long. But you've never even tasted it?
Nope, never even tried
it. It's based on smell that you don't?
Smell, the heat. I don't like hot things. Again, it just takes too long. I just like, let me get this and let me move on.
I understand that as a policy.
Yes.
But I don't understand not
and
ever.
I I grew up with not a lot of coffee drinkers around me. My friends, Bean says, when you went to Denny's at night, yes, I was at Denny's, but I was having Coca-Cola. No, I was having Coca-Cola and the food
That's
and coffee. No one, or we never, ever, ever had coffee.
All right. By the way, it might be interesting to hear from other Kevin and Bean listeners who have commonplace foods and drinks that they have never one time put on their lips. We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Or you can text us at the number 2KRQ25767.
You put what food about on your lips?
Well, it goes through. It gets on your lips as it goes into your mouth, Kevin.
I see. All right.
What about peanut butter? Surely there was somebody in your family. You grew up in America in the 20th century, right?
Yes, I did, Bean.
Okay, there was somebody in your family who was eating peanut butter. There's no question that peanut butter was in your house. How did you end up avoiding that?
100% we had peanut butter in the house. I avoided it because I didn't like it, and instead of putting peanut butter on my bread, I put cream cheese on it with the jelly, and then all of a sudden it was a routine. Hey, here's sandwiches. My brother Sparky had peanut butter and jelly. I had cream cheese and jelly, and we were off to school. Then we came home. He ate a hamburger every single night, and I pretty much ate regular food that wasn't watermelon. And that's how I just – Bean, the smell is sick. And I hated the sight of mashed potatoes. We had a lady named –
The sight.
The sight, the smell, all of it. We had this lady named Martha babysit us. She forced me – this was like abuse. She forced me to eat the mashed potatoes. I threw up all over the table, the mashed potatoes and green Gatorade.
What is? What, did you grow up in a circus family? Are your parents carnies?
The west side of LA is very close to that. Yes.
What kind of an insane upbringing did you have?
How about peanut butter cookies?
No. Don't be ridiculous.
No, Bean. No.
Are there a lot of foods whose texture you find unpalatable?
Not necessarily. But you know what I tried for the first time about 1 year ago is lobster.
Okay.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
A year ago, you tried lobster for the first time.
Yes, a year ago.
Okay.
And it was pretty good. It was damn hard to eat, so I don't think I'm going to get it again. But it was
nice. Ridiculous.
But you had it the one time. That's enough.
It's too much time.
And I don't think I was getting the best lobster. It was at a buffet that had a steak there, and it had just sushi and an egg omelet bar, and then they had the lobster. I'm like, yeah, I think I'll try it. It was not bad.
You were a crazy man.
I was.
Look,
I was.
Look, the truth of the matter is, every single one of us has a food that we've never tried. But rarely, I think, are they as commonplace as the ones that you're describing. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we have a lot of listeners who have never had lobster. It's not a common food.
Right, I agree.
That a lot of people have. Everybody has peanut butter.
Every single human being.
Every single human in America has peanut butter. Let's talk to John Vishadejo. He's on line three. He's going to get us going here with your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Can you out-freak Stryker? What haven't you tried as an adult? John, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for being up so early, my man. What's going on?
Hey, thanks, guys. Nice to be on the show. I hear you guys every morning.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna one-up Stryker here. I've never had coffee. I've never had tea. I've never had alcohol. And I've never smoked any drugs.
Are you... Eight?
I'm not eight. I am.
Are you Mormon?
Ding, ding, ding. We have one.
There it is. Yeah. There you go. Winner. Well, that makes sense. I mean, look, you've got a reason to eschew all of those things.
Sure.
Totally makes sense. You're off the hook. You don't have to try them.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate
we
it.
We rule that you're okay, John. We will allow it. Thank you for the call. By the way, I wonder how many people there are who are non-religious people who never tried alcohol just because the shame was put into them by their parents or by school or whatever it is, that it was, you know, going to be the road to ruin and that it was going to turn them into a drug addict, or maybe they had people in their family that had alcohol problems. I wonder if there are a lot of people out there who have never tasted alcohol.
I'm sure there's quite a few.
I can't imagine that there's quite a few.
But I think I do a lot of things, by the way, that you guys may not. Like, I am sometimes scared to walk by people that I see cough two blocks in front of me. I'll walk across the street or I hold my breath.
Is that an OCD thing?
I don't know if it's OCD. Like, I just don't want to. Things that bother me, I'm fine in my life without those items that you named. I'm just, I'm fine.
What if you ate peanut butter and you loved it?
What's going to happen to me?
Best thing ever.
Is it going to give me enough money to retire?
Well, I don't
know, but it might add enjoyment, a tablespoon of enjoyment to your life every day for the rest of your life.
I feel pretty happy right now. I'm pretty good.
Look, I'll give you an example. Let's go to Nick, by the way. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
I never tried
and this is going to sound weird, just like what you're talking about, I never tried hot sauce until about 2 years ago.
What?
Never put – what's the brand, the popular brand with
salt,
the
bottle? What is it?
Tabasco?
You know what I'm talking about. Like Tabasco. Yeah. Never, ever tried it. No interest in it whatsoever. Didn't really understand it. Didn't really try it. One day I thought, I'm going to go crazy here. I'm going to put some Tabasco on my eggs.
It was
so great that now I don't even want to eat eggs ever without Tabasco. I mean, it's changed my enjoyment of breakfast because of how much I love Tabasco sauce. I'm so glad that I tried it because it's really enriched my life. I'm saying the same thing could be true with you and the coffee and you with the peanut butter.
I'm looking at Stryker's face and there's
he's it's not happening. Is
he's
it?
Perfectly happy the way it's going.
Oh, I am. But Bean, I am so happy to hear that you tried this and that your life is better with eggs and salsa now. I just imagine you at IHOP or Denny's like, I don't have the salsa on my plate.
No, it's hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
Yeah. So I'm saying sometimes it's even as a grown-up, sometimes it's worth trying that thing, and you don't know how much it might enrich your life. I feel like you're missing out if you don't try it. I feel like you need to try all three of those things in the next 15 minutes here on the show.
If you had it, I guess I would try it. If you had it, I would try it. But I'm not seeking it out. But I mean, I know watermelon is good, and I know it's somewhat healthy for you, but the peanut butter and the coffee, I don't need it.
All right. We got to take a break. We got some great calls on the line. We're going to talk, when we come back, we're going to talk to a man who has never had bacon. Now, that sounds
unacceptable. Yeah.
Unacceptable and un-American, right?
Right. He should be.
All right, Nick, you hold on. We'll get to the other calls, too. 1-800-520-1067. You're a grown-ass man or woman, but you've never tried what? Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. The hilarious Dr. Ken Jeong from the Dr. Ken TV show and, of course, the Hangover movies, Community, so much more, joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, we're talking to our man Stryker, who's filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat today. We just found out he has never had a cup of coffee. He's never eaten watermelon. He's never had peanut butter. We're taking your calls on what you've never tried at 1-800-520-1067. Raul writes in, by the way, I'm in my mid-30s, and this year I had my first ever grilled cheese sandwich.
How is that possible?
And now I am addicted. See, this is what we're saying, Ted. Raul has been missing out on the joy for 30 years of a grilled cheese sandwich. Now it's his favorite thing. That could be you with peanut butter.
A grilled cheese just sounds like excitement and warmth and fulfilling, whereas the peanut butter to me sounds like a sticky mouth and time consumption. Your teeth and your dental floss and your lips get together. It's just too much of a hassle.
All right, let me ask you one more question about the peanut butter, and then we'll go to Nick's call. Yeah. And that is, do you have a dog?
Yes, his name's Banzai. Bean.
I'm just sicko.
Wow.
Do you have goats? Let's talk to Nick about the bacon. Let's find out what this story is.
Where is that, line two? All right.
Two.
Hi, Nick.
Morning, guys. Morning, Allie.
You've never had bacon?
No. I can't stand even the smell of it, so never tried it.
As a five-year-old, you didn't like it?
Yeah, even when I was a kid. And everybody in my family likes it, so they all give me tons of grief.
How about sausage?
Sausage is fine.
Really? So it's not even that it's a pig thing. There's something specific about bacon.
Yeah, it's something about, I guess, how it's processed. But, just the smell of it makes me, almost want to throw up.
Isn't that crazy? Do you have any other foods like that, or is it just bacon?
It's just bacon. And depending on how they're cooked, pork ribs.
So you are a friend of the pig, man. Is it weird for you, Nick, to see how much America has fetishized bacon in recent years? The fact that there's bacon everything, bacon flavored everything?
It's completely crazy to me.
Yeah.
And, like I said, my family's on board with it.
Right.
So, one Christmas they got me the giant box that was all of the bacon flavored salt and chocolate dip bacon and stuff like that.
Because that's what you do when somebody doesn't eat bacon.
Exactly. All right, Nick, we appreciate you listening. Thank you for calling so much. Let's go to Eddie, line 7, Cypress. Eddie is going to be your mortal enemy, Kevin. You're not going to even want to talk to him when you find out what he's never tried. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hi, Allie.
Hi. Why is everyone saying hi to Allie? He's clearly not here, by the way. Eddie, what have you never eaten?
Kevin, I'm very sorry. I have never had mac and cheese.
What? Wow, you go right to hell, Eddie. You go right to hell. How? It's the best food on the planet.
No.
How do you know?
No.
But you've never tried it. Kevin could be right.
It could be, then that's great. But I don't ever want to try that. I'm not a fan of cheese at all.
Not a fan of Mac?
Not a fan. Well, yeah. So my last name is McDonald. Ironic, huh? I can't stand cheese, especially like the nacho cheese where it's like boiled over, where it's like very soupy and whatnot, where you spoon it out. I can't stand that at all.
Wow.
It's gross. It's disgusting and ugh. No. I don't get you, man. The smell of it, the look at it, no.
So when you hear Kevin tell stories on the air, as he so frequently has, about the lengths he will go to get, I mean, he'll get in fights with people if they won't bring him mac and cheese immediately. It must drive you crazy.
Oh, to me, it's beyond words about the kind of, I guess, idiocy that goes into that.
Idiocy, please.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call. Let's do one more, and I think Chris L. on line two. Is winner, winner, chicken dinner. Chicken dinner not included.
We have a coffee. We have cottage cheese. We have apple juice. Mm. Chris, what is it that you don't try or have never tried?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I don't eat cereal.
Okay.
Cereal of any kind?
Ever?
Any kind. Never had cereal.
As a little kid, how do you escape? I mean, isn't one of the first things you ever eat that's solid food as a baby, isn't it Cheerios?
Well, when I would go to my friend's house, they would all eat cereal, but I would just have eggs or something.
Did you try it? No, you never tried it. Well, why wouldn't you try it if you hadn't tried it and if you didn't hate it? Like the last guy with bacon hated the smell of it.
Well, I saw it sitting out for a while in one of my buddy's bowls, and it was just all soggy, and it didn't look appetizing at all.
Okay, but what little kid doesn't love Lucky Charms, for instance?
And there are 50 different kinds.
Yes, that's right. They all have different tastes. What about when Halloween comes around? How do you get by without any Count Chocula?
Count mother effing Chocula.
Kevin has Count Chocula all 31 days of October. I mean, that's part of a holiday.
Just never had cereal. My parents never bought it. That's all. Never had cereal.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
How about Raisin Bran?
No Raisin Bran.
Captain Crunch.
Nope.
Frosties.
What is that?
I don't know what Frosties
are. Like Frosted Flakes. Yeah.
I don't know. Frosted Flakes.
Fruit Loops.
Nope.
Wheaties.
No matter how many we name, he's not had any of them.
Fruity Pebbles.
Well, they're all so different. That's why that's why I don't understand.
Corn Flakes.
Never had Corn Flakes.
Sugar Snaps.
No, I'm more of an oatmeal person.
Have you ever
how about
had
Life? Have you ever had a Rice Krispie treat?
No, Rice Krispie treat.
You're missing out, man. I'm sorry. I know I'm missing out on my things, but you are this is children's food that you eat till you die.
But Ted, you're looking in a mirror right now, son. He is you. As crazy as he sounds to you, that's how crazy you sound to us.
Wow.
Both of you need to re-examine your lives this weekend.
You're right.
Is it possible that you've just used some really poor judgment here?
RJ Bell joins us in about 15 minutes or so. He is 6-0 this year, don't you know, Allie?
He's amazing.
He's making our listeners money. Talking NFL, that is coming up. But first, this past April was the 150th anniversary of the end of the Civil War in this country. And I saw an interesting article this week about how, like many other things, Civil War reenactments are suffering from a dwindling number of participants. Back in the 80s, thousands and thousands and thousands of people were into these Civil War reenactments. This is where you get together and you pretend to be a guy on the Union side or a guy on the Confederate side, and you recreate the famous battles throughout history. Now, sometimes a few dozen people show up for these reenactments. How do you get young people into Civil War reenactment? People who are new to it. What do you do? As somebody points out in this article, it's tough to convince the younger generations to embrace the hobby, as living history often loses to electronics and air conditioning. So kids are sitting around with their PS1 and their air conditioning, and they don't want to go outside and put on a sweaty, hot wool uniform and run around and pretend to be in a war, right?
What's a PS1?
Is that what it's called?
What's that? Yeah, like 10 years ago. Loser. We're on four, Bean. We're on four.
kids nowadays, if they're involved, it's because they really want to be. They have to be history buffs. They have to think it's neat to hold a musket or a sword or sleep in a tent or sleep like the Indians do. So the problem is, how do you get kids into Civil War reenactments? We wanted to find out more about this subject. We asked Dave, who can we find out? We have Colonel Ira Lefkowitz on the line with us. He joins us on KROQ right now. Hi, Colonel. Welcome, sir.
Why, hello, sir. How are you? It is indeed a pleasure to be speaking with you this morning, sir.
Now, are you a real colonel in the service, or is that just your part of your reenactment?
How dare you, sir? I am a colonel in the Confederate Army, member and leader of the Soldiers of New Market, as we are known when we take the battlefield, sir.
Okay, so you're just playing, then. You're just pretending to be a civilian.
How dare you, sir? I am plumb tuckered out by your accusations. I sing out huzzah, sir, as you try to skedaddle my meaning away from all the sawbones and scarce as hen's teeth.
Wow. All right, Colonel. So the problem is, how do you get the younger generation?
How indeed, sir? How do we get these youngins to stop their highfalutin horse sense with their humbug and their PS1s?
Right? That's what I'm saying.
And how do we get them to become fresh fists, if you will, and sign up for either the Confederate or Union side of the Army and recreate some of the most glorious moments in military history?
Okay, well, that's actually the question that I'm asking you, is what are you going
to
do?
Here's how I intend to get the youngins all involved in these recreations that you so-called recreation, sir. But to me, they are true life, sir.
Okay.
If you have a hankering for adventure, and if you're tired of all the humbug, then I say, come, grab your John Barleycorn and let her rip. Long sweetening shall we quickstep through Robber's Row played out on a picket with a pig sticker.
Okay.
Opening the ball on a no-account mule who snug as a bug in somebody's darling. I sound on the goose, sir.
You're not
and
making
I
any
say,
sense.
Toe the mark, top rail, and I say, hey, would you stop it? I'm on the phone here. God damn it. Yes, sir. I say, join us, sir, for all you youngins. Come appreciate the joy that is the Civil War, sir.
Hey, Alan, I'm not kidding. I will come over there and kick your ass. I got a golf game in the morning. I got to get this finished. Do you mind?
So,
did I catch you at a bad time, Colonel?
I say to you, it just works a nightmare. I'm losing my business, and my wife is divorcing me. It's just the worst.
Well, this just got very sad all of a sudden. We're just talking about the Civil War reenactments.
This is a stupid thing I'm doing. Don't do this, kids. This is dumb. I've been doing this for years. I lost my wife. I've lost my business. What was I thinking?
Oh, no.
I stay home and play my PS1.
Exactly, sir.
Yesterday, we found out that Bean had an app that helps him keep updated with how many human beings are in space at any given moment. That's an app.
And your point is?
And Bean downloaded it and uses it. Because he wants to know at all times how many people are in space.
It's the People in Space app. I don't understand why you're bringing it up. Do you have questions about the People in Space app? For instance, do you want to know how many people are in space?
No. That's my point. I don't care.
Six.
Okay, right. Did you think that was going to wow me?
Does it tell you who and exactly where they are?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Aggressive.
American Scott Kelly has been in space for 193 days as of right now. The most recent man in space is Sergei Volkov. He is Russian. He has been in space for 34 days.
We don't care. Dude, we don't care. We don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Oh, but God. Don't care. Don't care.
He's a flight engineer with the International Space Station. He is married. They have one son, Igor. His hobbies include sports, tennis, windsurfing, reading, and museums.
All of this on that app?
On the app, yes.
Wow.
So what's your point, Kevin?
You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of it. It reminds me a little of a waste of time.
My point is that we should talk about apps that you use that are ridiculous.
That's not a ridiculous app. That's a very useful app.
Right, that's what I meant. The most useful apps that you have.
Tell me an easier way. Seriously, tell me an easier way to find out how many people are in space.
You're missing the point that I don't care how many people are in space. So there doesn't need to be an easier or a more difficult app to tell that.
You don't get it, man.
It could be 100. It could be 0.
Here's the thing.
here's the thing about the beautiful age that we live in, the age of the internet, which I've said many times in this program, I believe is the greatest invention of the 20th century. I really do sincerely believe that. And the way it has improved our lives, the way it has changed the world, is that there's a website for everything. And there's an app for everything because it can be specialized, because there can be a million apps, but you can have the 40 that you like on your phone. It's the greatest personalization in entertainment history.
Don't be so boring.
So I know that there are going to be people out there who have an app that they love, that they use, but that most people don't know about. And this would be a great opportunity for you to share it with us at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Or you can text the Kevin and Bean Show, as always, at the number 2KROCK 25767. Share with us what's the cool app that you have that we need to know about.
What if it's not cool? What if I love it, but it's not cool, it's stupid?
But you love it, so that's all that matters.
That's all that matters, yeah. It's the app that you use and you enjoy that others may not know about. I mean, so far we've only named one app, and it's awesome, and it's
right.
People in Space.
Like My Talking Pet. You take a picture of your pet, and then you line up their eyes and their mouth. You make a sound or a whole sentence. Maybe you sing Happy Birthday. All of a sudden, your dog singing Happy Birthday. That's fantastic.
That's not bad, by the way.
Thank you.
All right. Now, this is...
I was surprised. I was ready to discount you, but...
Oh, no.
Your pet can sing?
Yeah, My Talking Pet. It's phenomenal.
Now, I don't need that at all, but I'm happy that it exists and that others who enjoy it can use it.
Sure.
I'm not hating on somebody else's app because I don't use it, Kevin.
No, I'm saying yours is dumb. I'm saying...
But Talking Pets is not?
No, Talking Pets is pretty sweet.
I'll send you one of a
yes,
dog
please.
Singing happy birthday. It's fantastic.
I'm not sure I need that. Do you guys remember when we were interviewing, I think it was Kevin Bacon, and about a mustache?
Yeah.
And he said that he used an app. I went and got the app. I've put so many.
Stash-tastic. Yes.
You have it?
I got it because you got it and yours was so good.
Wait, what do you do with Stash-tastic?
So you take a picture of yourself, Bean, and then you put like a goatee on, or you can put a full beard. I have picture after picture on my phone.
And you would text it to me. I'm like, I need this.
Because it's awesome. It has like a Hulk Hogan mustache. I think it even has a Hitler mustache. I don't know. It just has different facial hair that you can put on yourself.
Yeah.
So it's
and
kind
it's
of
fantastic.
Like, it's kind of like, just... fun with Photoshop, basically.
Pretty much. Except for it's super easy to use because you just pick which beard you want and then you just put it in place.
Okay.
It's pretty sweet.
All right.
Way better than how many people are in space.
How dare you. Chip, you got one?
No.
Well, you're no fun.
You're no fun indeed. Allie, you got another one?
I love...
Allie has a lot, by the way.
Well, no. This one I think everyone should have. T-minus zero, because you just put in what specific day you're looking forward to. Maybe it's your vacation. Maybe it's your kid's birthday.
Oh, I see.
I, of course, have Christmas. So we are 79 days, 16 hours, 48 minutes, and 34 seconds away from the big day. Yay, Christmas.
I respect that app so much.
Yeah. Good.
I love that. I have a Christmas countdown clock on my desktop, too, so I'm with
sure
you. All right.
Wow,
Don't you guys know that basically it's early October?
Don't you want it down to the second?
No.
Oh.
I don't even need it down to the day. You know what it is? December 25th.
I want to know in January
how far away we are from
Christmas.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a few calls. 1-800-520-1067. Phones are blowing up on this. We're looking for your unusual apps that you want to share with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's start with Brendan in Simi Valley. He's online too. I'm not even sure I understand what his app is all about.
Hey, Brendan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you. What's the weird app that you have?
All right. I play this Japanese game called Niko Atsumi. It's basically a crazy cat lady simulator. You put out food. And neighborhood cats will come visit you and play with the toys you put out for them and dress up in costumes.
Okay,
Bean, you've been topped.
That's a whole nother category, though, of games. I mean, that's just a game. It's just a game like you would be playing a game on your, you know, on your computer or on your system at home or something like that. I mean, games are games. If that's a fun game, that's fine. To me, that's not even an unusual app. What do you guys think? It's just a game.
It's a crazy cat lady game.
But that's like saying Angry Birds is a crazy app. It's not. It's just a game. You know what I mean?
All right. So are we eliminating games? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, I don't think games
no
is what we're talking about.
They show up. They're dressed up in little costumes. You can take pictures. And all of their butts have little X's on them.
Look, you enjoy it, Brendan. That's what I'm saying to you.
I'm sorry. All of their butts, what?
Have little X's on them? I don't know. It's adorable.
Yeah.
All right, Brendan.
Sounds adorable. Right.
Let's go to Danielle Long Beach on line four. Now, this is the kind of app that I can honestly say I would never have known existed if it hadn't been for this call. Danielle, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi there.
So the app is the Period Tracker app. And what happens is...
I'm afraid of that.
Period.
Is that a countdown? to the second?
It is. But it's got bells and whistles, like you can keep track of your flow, and if you're spotting, and when it's coming back, it alerts you just so you don't have, like, you
Please
know...
Please stop talking.
Well, that's actually very handy, though, because when you go for your lady appointment, first
you
thing
too,
they
lady.
Ask is, when was the first day of your last period? You can just look on this app. That's smart.
Exactly right.
What are you, eight, Bean? The girls have cooties?
Oh, stop talking about lady stuff, how babies are born and stuff. Shut up, Bean.
Danielle, I reject you totally, but please enjoy. I hope you have a wonderful menstrual flow. 1-800-520. I never thought I'd say that sentence, by the way. 1-800-520-1067. What's the awesome app you want to share with the world? We'll talk to you next time, K-Rock. Kevin was surprised to find out that I have an app on my phone that I use about once a week called People in Space, where it tells you how many people are out of Earth's orbit. And who they are and what they're doing up there. And I love the app, and it kind of got us on the conversation of other apps that people have that maybe we don't know about, because there's so many. There's no way to keep track of all of them. Listen to this, by the way. This one is texted into the number 2 KROQ from the 626. I use an app that tracks great white sharks. It's called Expedition White Shark. It's a pretty cool app.
Interesting.
How would you?
I don't know how they would do that.
Here's another one from the 323. I use an app called Flight Radar 24. It lets me see what aircraft is flying above me. So when a plane, you're out in the street and the plane goes by, you can look at your app and find out which plane it is.
Where yeah, it's isn't from, that where, how where they found out the poop that fell from that plane?
Oh,
they
is
did,
it?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
They used the flight tracker.
All right, let's get some more calls here.
That
we got a lot of good
poop
ones.
Tracker.
It really is.
That's what that should be.
Let's try. Where do you want to start here, Kevin? We got a bunch of good ones on the
Man, oh, man. Let's see. I don't know. There's so many weird ones. All right, let's do Linda, who's calling us from Pomona. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you. What app do you use?
It's called Shopkick, and basically it's an app that gives you points for walking into any store that's popular, CVS, Rite Aid, JCPenney's, Macy's. And basically all it does is it accumulates how many steps you get in that store, uh-huh. and then it gives you gift cards for if you reach a certain amount of steps, and you do absolutely nothing.
Right. How many steps does it take for the smallest gift card?
It takes about 1,000 steps for a $5 gift card to Starbucks.
And so, but do you have to be in Starbucks for that long, or just any store?
No, any store.
How about any that? What's
this
that called?
Target. It's called Shopkick. And okay. This is I run a fan page on Facebook called Coupon for a Cause.
Right.
And this has been the most popular app that we've been able to get out of. You know, everybody's pretty excited about it because I have, right now, I have over 20,000 steps and it took me about a month to do. And what I'm doing is I'm saving up for the whole year and then I just get gift cards and I get them out for Christmas and I give them out to people. It's
Look at that.
Really super easy.
Wow. It so is. Linda just walking around for hours inside of Walgreens. I got more steps.
The bad news is she weighs 79 pounds. The good news is she's got $28 in gift cards. All right. Linda, we got to go. We got more calls, but thank you very much. It's called Shopkick. We'll definitely check that one out. Let's go to Julian LaPuente, please, line 5, talking about the unusual apps on your phone. By the way, actor Malcolm Goodwin from iZombie is going to be joining us, coming in about 10 minutes or so. Stick around for that. What's going on, Julian?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
I want to let you guys know of a really cool app that's out there helping out in college for intermediate math. Given it works for a lot of different kind of math, but one of the best apps that I think that's out there is called Mathway.
Mathway?
Mathway.
Now, what kind of math would most people encounter in their day-to-day life where they would use something like this, something that would go beyond needing, like, a calculator?
Normally, so, for example, algebra, geometry, trigonometry. Different math like that is something that, you know, you would occasionally use out in school. So this app is actually really, really awesome because you pay for the premium version, which costs you about, you know, maybe $20 per month.
$20 a month?
Kevin, you know for all the time you need algebra and trigonometry.
Never.
Ever.
Wait, you mean $20 for a year?
No. I mean, you can pay for the year. Your subscription is about $60. It's around there. Your subscription is about $60, but it beats retaking the math class over and over again where you're spending $400 a math.
You are using math a lot more than we are. I don't think any of our dumb listeners need a trigonometry app.
But $20 a month.
Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Maureen. She's in Whittier. She's on line four. She's got another useful app, I think, maybe.
Hi, Maureen.
All right, so the other day I told my mom that a random number from Philadelphia was calling and another from Hollywood. And later that day she told me to download an app called Truecaller and to follow the instructions. So pretty much I copied and pasted the numbers and it automatically alerted me saying it was spam. And it saved in my phone as spam. So, like, if they ever called again, I would know for sure never to answer.
Huh.
How hip is your mom?
Huh. So, in other words, a telemarketer calls you once, you'll never make the mistake of picking up the phone again after that time.
Exactly. As long as you, like, copy and then paste it into the app, people alert it. You know, if enough people mark it as spam, then it'll just mark it in your phone as spam.
I got to follow up on Allie's question. How hip is your mom? Yeah. Because if my mom turned me onto an app, I would go, I'm not paying attention. Because she should not know more about this than I do.
My mom's 39. I don't know if that's an old age yet.
No, not for a mom.
She's very happening. All right. Thank you very much for the call, Maureen. Appreciate that. Let's go to Pam, Costa Mesa, up next, line two on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Pam.
Hey, everyone. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
So my app is called Sit or Squat. It rates the public bathrooms in the area as to whether you need to stand or if you can actually sit down. Wow.
So basically, you turn on the location thing and then it can tell where the restrooms are around you?
Exactly, and other people, other users rate based on their experience.
It's so interesting. What's your app called again, Pam?
Sit or Squat.
Sit or Squat, because we heard from Tony. He texted us at 323. There's an app called Places I've Pooped, he says, that he cannot live without. Same kind of thing. You kind of share information back and forth about public restrooms. See, that's good information.
That's a little weird, though.
Yeah, Pam, it is.
Places I've Pooped is weird, but Sit or Squat isn't?
Well, Sit or Squat is doing a public service. Yes, nobody cares where you pooped.
It's a health issue. By the way, yesterday we were starting to talk about this topic. We did look for poop apps, and there are way too many. And you don't want to know about any of them, Bean.
Yeah.
You're going to have to trust me.
Thank you very much for the call, my dear. Let's talk to Richard, our final call in Los Angeles, line 7. This may be the geekiest of all the apps we've heard about today. Hey, Richard.
Hello there, Kevin and Bean.
Hi. Which app do you use?
It's called Tricorder. It's just from Star Trek. It's a simulator of a tricorder on your phone. And it really doesn't do anything other than... it does have a map button you could push. It will show your location.
Okay.
But it just makes all the lights and sounds of a tricorder, and it'll say, no intelligent life found on this planet.
Richard is tickled by this.
I do like that he's laughing at that still.
Well, it sounds very useful, and sometimes I believe it may be accurate. That might actually be true about Earth these days.
All right.
All right, guys.
We welcome to the studio Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker, All-American at Georgia, won the Heisman Trophy, played for the Dallas Cowboys, the Vikings, the Eagles, the Giants, had a great career, went into fighting, does everything.
You're leaving out my favorite part of the prep, bobsledder.
He's a bobsledder.
What?
Well, you forgot about ballet.
Ballet as well.
Who are you? Yeah. You have done everything.
Well, I needed something else to do. I may be running for president, so I'm going to throw my name in a hat.
All right. I like
it. Excellent.
Yes.
I like it.
Well, you're not busy. So, yes.
So how many years were you in the NFL?
I played pro ball 15 years.
15.
I played 12 years in the NFL and 3 in the USFL. So I played 15 years of pro ball.
And when you watch today's NFL, is it weird? You have thoughts about it? Is it changed a lot?
It has changed a great deal.
It's changed a lot.
They've gone to the passing game, which is kind of different since I'm a running
back. Yeah, when Herschel played, it was just give him the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But you know what's strange about it, and I mentioned it a year ago. I said, guys, you better get back to the running backs or you're going to start losing games. And you saw what happened to Seattle in the Super Bowl, whether they were warm or not.
But let's refresh people's memories.
Yeah. She's a Patriots fan.
Well, everyone make mistakes, but they're not cheating this day. not cheating this time.
How
they did it right.
Herschel
I think
Walker.
They did it right. I didn't mean to say that.
All right, so it's very different. What's the biggest change from when you were in the NFL today?
Well, I think the biggest change today is for me as a running back, you know, they do running backs by committee. You know, I watched the game this past week, and you wanted, I think, the best player you've seen play is Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Adrian Peterson didn't really play that much. I didn't even know he was on the team.
Yeah.
And he got in and out, and then I said, you know, it's a little bit funny because Minnesota was never out of that game until the third quarter. And they never even went to the running game, so I thought that was different.
Are you talking about the Monday night game?
Yes, the Monday night game.
Now, I'm just going to give you my opinion of the Monday night game. That may have been the worst NFL game I've ever seen.
Well, it was a lot of mistakes.
A lot of mistakes.
I don't think that was the worst. That was a couple of other games that was worse.
Really?
I think that was, this year, I think the first game of the season, that was a lot of mistakes that was made by a lot of teams.
Eli Manning.
That was amazing.
That was ridiculous.
Well, you know, I think the problem they have is, you know, the last preseason game, most teams don't let their players play.
Right.
They start throwing an in and one. And I think that's not good. I think you got to let those guys play because you're going into the regular season and you want to put a good product in front of the people. And I think the first week, it was a lot of mistakes made. You know, Seattle, I don't want to get on Seattle, but I know Seattle is not coached like that. You know, they made a lot of mistakes, and that's the reason they lost the game.
Do you think that the Super Bowl is so in Pete Carroll's head? He says it isn't, but I feel like every decision he's making, he's second-guessing.
Well, I don't know whether he's second-guessing, but because, you know, it's funny. When I was in Minnesota, Pete Carroll was there. He was a linebacker coach.
Wow.
And he's a great coach, but I think that he forgot about – he has a great running back.
Yeah.
You know, he forget about that. Like, guys – the Super Bowl, and they don't know whether he would have scored or not. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to second guess him there. But this past week, you go, wait a minute, Coach, what are you doing? You
know, he decides to pass now.
Yes, and passing is great, but as a running back, if you want to win games, be able to control the ball. Let me tell you the reason why. You give that offensive line an opportunity to dominate the defense. You give them something to be proud of. Now, I mean, you try to drop back trying to block a guy that's 6'6", runs a 4'6", and this guy got those arms like a gorilla.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, he's very difficult to block.
Yeah.
And you got to block him all day. That is very difficult. But give the offensive line a chance to fire off that ball and hit this guy square in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that develops some dominance. And I think that's what they were not doing now.
So you think the NFL has gone way too much to the pass and is not counting enough on the – because it always seemed to me like if you set up the run, then you can pass.
Well, you know, let's go back to another example. The Cowboys last year, the reason they started looking like they were a great team, why? They ran the ball.
Yeah.
And everyone said they got the best offensive line in the NFL. What did they do? They dominated at the line of scrimmage because they ran the ball. Well, everyone from the Cowboys played with guys from the 49ers, played with coaches. You know, they all went to college. You know, you have different guys. But it's just your philosophy, what type of philosophy you want. And if you want to have a great team, have a great defensive line, have a great offensive line, because those guys are going to set the standards for you.
All right, I'm going to ask a question, and I hope your answer is I don't want to answer it.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm tired of it. But if you have insight, I'd like to hear
Uh-oh.
It.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Spygate, Deflategate.
Okay.
If you have insight, fine. If not, we'll move right on.
He
looks right at me.
I'm pretty tired of it.
My insight is when you're guilty of so many things, something you're guilty of. There are so many things been thrown at him. And in my opinion is I know for a fact every quarterback know how those balls feel.
That's what
they all
said.
Have a preference. They've all said they have a preference.
And one of the things that I want to say is, you know, it's great that Tom Brady worn his suit, but everyone now has an opportunity to go in front of the commission and take the commissioner and say, hey, I don't think you ruled this right.
Yeah.
Now should everybody now go to court?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a problem that I didn't like, and I'm happy Tom won, but I think right now everybody got to go to court. And you know, I think the guy at the Cowboys, Harvey, the one that accused of abusing his wife.
Oh, even the four-game
suspension. Even though we think he's guilty,
mm-hmm.
everyone think he's guilty, but in a court of law, he's found not guilty.
Yeah.
So is the NFL above the court of law?
So how do you feel the NFL is being run?
I think they're doing a decent job.
No,
I think he's doing a great job.
A great job.
I think it's very, very difficult now. And
you might be the only person.
Well, no, let me tell you. I think it's very, very difficult because everybody now got their eyes on him. They're pointing him out, and I think he's got to get a little bit more sterner. I think he's got to lay the law down. This is the way it's got to be. And we got to quit questioning him. And I think Tom Brady now has made it that everybody's going to question him from now on. But, you know, I think he's done a very, very good job. You know, you look at the product the NFL has done. Look at the amount of money that they made.
That's crazy.
Well, that's what you do as a business. You know, you don't find many businesses that's doing things like that. And you look at what the players are making. You know, when I played, I ain't make anything. I'm making peanuts. Now the guys are making a lot of money.
Does that drive you crazy to see these new contracts that are $100 million?
Not at all. It doesn't. Let me tell the people something which they may not know. A lot of these contracts are not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you have it in it, basketball and baseball, the contract may be guaranteed. A lot of NFL football players, and I try to tell them, guys, do not sign for 5-6 years because you're not going to receive any money after the third year. Sign a short-term contract. If you think
they should do that their whole career?
I think they should do it their whole career if they got confidence in themselves. You got to believe in yourself that if you go out and play well, that they're going to continue to pay you. But if you go out and sign a 5-year deal, after the second year, they're going to want you to renegotiate. You hear so many guys renegotiating that contract.
When I hear about people that are like, these, you know, it's an exorbitant amount of money. These guys have such a small window that they can make money. You better make as much as you can in that window.
No, that's true there.
Herschel, I want to ask you about changing teams amongst rivals. Because you played for the Cowboys. You played for the Eagles. You played for the Giants. It seems like all of those fan bases hate each other.
Well, it was difficult.
What's it like for you?
Well, it was difficult, but you know, I was setting up. Like I said, if I run for president, I can carry those states, and so that's why I was setting up for people. But it was very difficult because you know, when I first went to the Cowboys, I thought that was my home.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be my home. Everything was going to be there, and then
there's no home, is there?
There's absolutely no home, which is sad because fans cannot get accustomed to a player because a player may not be there the next year.
Yeah,
and when they said that Herschel, you're traded to Minnesota, it totally shocked me.
What does that do with your mind?
You know, I was like, wait a minute, they don't want me here anymore. But then you look at what they gave up to get me in Minnesota. You go, whoa. But, you know, I went up to Minnesota, and this is the honest truth. That's one of the best places I've ever lived in my life.
In Minnesota?
I hate cold weather, but the people of Minnesota was the nicest people to me in the world. And this is what was so strange. The people absolutely loved me in Minnesota. I thought the team hated me. because, you know, I didn't play that much there in Minnesota. And, you know, the word was out that Herschel Walker can't run out of a split backfield. Well, they never gave me an opportunity to run out of split backfield. They just assumed I couldn't. Huh. But, you know, I absolutely love Minnesota. Minnesota is like a hidden secret, I think.
So when you go to the Eagles, when you go to the Giants?
I went to the Eagles, the fan bases
give you a hard time?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Remember, I started in New York.
Right.
I started in New York with Donald Trump. And being in Philly, now, that's a tough place.
You said you started in New York with Donald Trump.
Yes. So I
say what that means.
Well, no, I started in New York with Donald Trump because
he was in the backfield. He was the lead blocker for Herschel.
Yeah, when I first came out of college, I went up to New York, and Donald Trump owned the New Jersey Generals. So,
Which is the USFL.
Yeah. So I was there in New York with Donald in New York for 3 years before I even went over to the NFL. And, you know, every place I went in the NFL, the fans absolutely adopted me and they loved me there. But I think they also love me because I get involved in the community. And I think that's very, very important for athletes to get into the community. And the reason why is Coach Landry, who I consider one of the best coaches ever to coach football.
Dallas Cowboys coach.
Used to always say, if you take something out of a society, put something back in. Well, I was paid a lot of money. You know, I joke about it. I wasn't, but I was paid a lot of money from those teams. And I think I had to get into the community to show the people that I thank them for coming out supporting me. And I think that's the reason why that
they
I have a good relationship.
Well.
They responded very well to it.
I read in an interview that you think you could still play.
Well, yeah, I think I could still. They say,
oh, I'm looking at
he
him.
Could, he could play.
Well, and that's the word. They keep saying that I said that I think I can still play. No, did I said I know I can still play.
I know I can still play. All right.
And the reason I say that is, like I said, they do running backs by committee. And I go out during the off season and I train with a lot of the guys that are playing today.
And by committee, that means a guy comes in for first down, another guy comes in for second down.
Right. This guy plays third
down.
So you're not
the workhorse like you used to.
No running back is today. You know, you look at Adrian Peterson, he didn't even play that much. And that's the guy, DeMarcus Murray, the Eagles paid a lot of money for him. He didn't play that much. And I said, that's what's so strange is I can get in there and I guarantee I can do something to help the team out.
And have you had any interest?
No, not at all. You know, I'm still fighting. I'm still fighting. I still say I want to get a fight. And then, you know, people forget I own a company. I own a couple of companies. I have the largest minority-owned chicken company in the United States.
Is that right?
Yes. I've been selling chicken now for about 16 years, my company has, and I have one of the largest minority-owned promotion companies in the United States, about 800 employees. And people don't even know that outside of sports, I'm doing other things as well. And I treat between 4,000 to 5,000 soldiers a year. I'm at a base once a month anywhere in the world. And I said, guys, I'm still doing all this. And people say, how do you have all the time? Well, one of the things we got to do is quit making excuses. People make excuses all the time. You know, everyone think I'm a weightlifter. Do you know I never lifted weights in my life?
That's not true.
Where did those arms come from?
That's a lie.
Those arms come from push-ups and sit-ups. Those guns. Yeah, you know, I grew up as a fat little kid, and I think my inspiration was that, you know, you got to quit using excuses. You know, people always say, I don't have the time. Yeah, you have to make the time. If you want it, you got to make the time to do it. And that's what I try to do is just make the time to get things done that I need to get done.
All right, Herschel Walker is here. We're going to talk about Bellator MMA Dynamite 1.
Yes.
In just a second, we'll be right back. We're finding a lot out about Herschel Walker. He's fascinating. He played in the NFL for a lot of years with the Dallas Cowboys, the Vikings, the Eagles, the Giants. Are you a black belt?
Like a fifth degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Oh,
just a fifth degree.
No big.
Yes. I started doing martial arts when I was in high school because, I started out as an overweight kid. Mm-hmm. I used to have a speech impediment, so I was picked on a little bit. And, you know, you used to watch those Bruce Lee movies like, and I thought that I could do that. So I got in Taekwondo then, and I learned then that, you know, martial arts is not about fighting. Mm-hmm. It is real. It's a true art. And it's about discipline, about respect, and I actually love the arts.
Did that bring up your confidence as well? Because a lot of kids go into that and then emerge such a new person after doing martial arts.
It did. It emerged me as a new person, but at the same time, it made me feel good about who I was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes kids grow up not loving themselves because of the way they look, the way they sound, and that's the way I did. But I think getting into a good martial arts class, it didn't matter how I look, how I sound. What matters is how I was as a person. And I think that really blossomed me as a young man.
And you also were a fighter.
I am a fighter. I've had two MMA fights. But a lot of people do not know. When I was at Georgia, I played on Saturdays. We go to church Sunday morning and fight in like Taekwondo tournament Sunday afternoon. This is not something that I just started. The MMA was sort of something I got in late, which I hate that because I absolutely love MMA. I think some of those MMA fighters are some of the toughest guys out there today. And
mentally, they're.
Oh, it's a tough sport.
To my mind, they're insane. Now, they'll break their hand in the first round and go, all right, well, that's happened.
I've got another one.
Well, it's a human chess match. And I tell people, it is a human chess match. And, you know, and I think Scott Coker, and a lot of people don't know, I came out to L.A. when I made what they call they had to take me through a test. And I was out here in L.A. where I went to a gym, and I can't even remember the gym, where I had to do five different fights with five different disciplines before I even got a chance to go to a training camp to fight. And I thank Scott Coker for that. And the reason why I say that, he could have just threw me into that cage and just for the money.
Yeah, name alone.
And he wanted to take care of me. And he said, Herschel, if you go to a good camp, you can get a fight. And today I know if I'm not going to a camp, I don't care what I would have done. There's no way I could have stepped into a cage and got into a fight.
All right, so that brings us to Bellator MMA, Dynamite 1, which is happening this Saturday. It's happening in San Jose, and you can watch it at 9 o'clock on Spike. Tell us about this fight.
Well, this is going to be an interesting fight because they're going to have a four-man tournament. They got a four-man tournament with Phil Davis, King Mo, Newton, and they got Vesa. And these are guys that are going to have to fight twice, meaning they're going to – two guys are going to fight each other. The winner of that going to end up fighting each other. And then you got
Tito. The same night.
The same night. So you're going to have two fights. And also, you got Glory. You're going to have two. You're going to have
That's
a cage.
Kickboxing?
And you're going to have a kickboxing ring First time ever, I think, wow, here. So Scott Coker, who started in San Jose, now he's going back to San Jose, where I think is the sort of like the beginning of MMA in the United States. And he's bringing it back to San Jose, where you're going to have kickboxing, a kickboxing ring, and then you're going to have a cage match where you're going to have guys fighting. And then you got Tito Ortiz. Mm-hmm. He's going to be fighting Liam for the world championship. So that's going to be an interesting situation.
Wow, I can't imagine that whole tournament thing. I can't, because in the first fight, you would think, okay, I need to minimize the damage.
That's exactly
because
right.
Because I have to fight again in 30 minutes.
And what's weird, when you think about with MMA, when MMA first started, they used to do something sort of like that. So this is sort of a throwback from years ago, which I think is like the founding father of martial arts. That's what guys used to be, and I'm looking forward to it.
Are you still going to fight again?
I love to fight again, and I've told Scott I love to fight again. I've told opponents out there, guys, somebody want to fight, you know, I don't mind fighting. I'll fight one more. But, you know, one of the reasons I say I do one more is, you know, I've been very blessed, and I think I've had my time. But there's a lot of good young fighters out there. And I think as long as Herschel Walker is out there fighting and doing that, I'm taking away from some of the good guys that got an opportunity to come up. And even though I love to promote the sport, I love to get in and promote the sport because I think I'm one of the finest athletes that they come up. So I think I got a little bit to say because I've done a lot of things.
But you really want to take part in your first love, really, which is the military.
Oh, I love the military.
You wanted to be a Marine?
I wanted to be a Marine, and I flipped a coin. I flipped a coin whether to go to college or go to the military. It came up for me to go to college.
Wow.
And I flipped a coin of what college to go to. And what was weird is
what was it between?
Love.
You have a terrible decision process.
Well, no, you know,
it's a funny system.
This one was weird. My mom is a minister, and my mom used to always say, "If your heart and mind is pure to the Lord Jesus, it really don't matter about your decision. He'll make it right for you." So that's the reason I flipped the coin. And what was strange is when I went to college, you know, I've always loved the military. And when I got out of college, I wrote a book on dissociative identity disorder. And I took the proceeds and invested into hospitals and behavior health hospitals. Well, I was bought by a large group, UHS, and they have 40 hospitals around the world. And they dedicated a program we call Patriot Support that I'm a part of, where we go in and we treat soldiers for any type of traumatic stress syndrome, chemical, mental, anything that's going on. Because, you know, I talked about it in my book. And I don't think a lot of people out there that's listening today know what all young men and women go through.
Yeah.
When you take a young man or a young woman off the streets of the United States, they're not brought up on those streets where they have people that literally hate them, that will blow their heads off, that have shooting and blowing up bombs and all that's going on, where we're sending them over to another country. People that literally hate them, and we're sending our young men and women over there. And so when they're coming back, we're forgetting about them.
Yeah.
And I'm telling us right now, let's not forget about those young people. Let's not continue to let our politicians forget about them, because those are the reason this world is great today. It has nothing to do with politics, but it has to do with that we have the best military in the world. And I would put my hat on it. And I say, if you want to talk about true heroes, it's not movie stars. I know those are great people, not athletes. Heroes are those young men and women that's going over saving this country.
Amen.
I don't want to, certainly don't want to badmouth any entertainers that go overseas and entertain the troops and stuff, but I don't know that I've ever heard anybody that does it once a month.
Yeah.
You do it, that's a lot.
I do it once a month. Like I said, I treat between 4,000 to 5,000 soldiers a year, and because it's my passion, I think it's my duty. They do so much for me, and they do so much for all of us. And, you know, I happened to be over to Iraq, and I was with a 25-year-old young man. And it was funny because he was laughing, he was smiling, he was in such a great mood. And I was with him for about 5 days, and I happened to leave. It didn't bother me until I left. Mm. And what bothered me is I left a young man over there that's going to be there for almost a year, never knowing if he'll ever come back home. And I said, you know, what can I do to help them? You know, what I'm doing, I'm coming to getting all the privileges that he's giving me.
Right.
But there's nothing I'm doing to help him. And what I want to do is, I said, I want to help him. I don't care what people say. I'm going to continue to say the reason this country is what it is today is we have the best military in the world. We need to get our politicians to stop, get off their butt saying the same old, and put money back into the military so we can get the freedoms that we need to get. And they'll get rid. You know, if we get the generals involved in what's going on with ISIL, I guarantee you they won't be doing the crap they're doing. we got so many politicians that has never done anything in their lives that want to tell people what to do, but yet they don't do anything.
And get those services for when they do come back. Make sure they are taken care of, that their families are taken care of.
Their families. You know, the VA, the situation that happened with the VA, that was absolutely appalling.
Yeah.
And that for people to do that is totally appalling. And I think something needs to be done for it.
Well, you're an impressive guy. I think I'm going to write you in for president.
I am.
Can we do
done.
That?
Yep.
Yeah, well,
you good with that?
That's nice. I get two votes. No, yep. I probably get more because my mom will vote for me.
You've got three right there.
Yes.
Herschel Walker has been our guest. Thank you very much for coming in. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, guys.
And MMA, Bellator MMA, Dynamite 1 is happening this Saturday at 9 p.m. on Spike. There's the round. There's the tournament that you were talking about. There's Tito Ortiz. There's a kickboxing match and a bunch of stuff going on. So I wish you the best, and thank you for coming in and spending some time.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Appreciate it.
I miss Doto. You guys remember when Doto used to be on the show?
He's the best.
Now we got to wait like two more weeks to hang out with the International Man of Mystery. He just makes everybody better. Hey, thanks for tuning in here on a Tuesday morning. Actor Nat Faxon from the TV show Married on FX joins us next hour here on the Kevin Devine Show. Ralph did a story a couple days ago that we just thought was fascinating. A, because it involved potentially bad news for Justin Bieber, and that's always good. But B, because it gets us into the topic of process servers, which I love. Every once in a while, you'll see it on TV, and you go, that's a thing? It's a thing where somebody has to trick you into taking paperwork so that they can prove that you know you've been sued? I mean, I guess it sort of makes sense that you need some sort of proof that somebody's been sued. But isn't it weird the things that people do to try to get those papers to you?
It's just strange they haven't found a better way of doing it, so they literally just fooling people is the way to do it. It's the only way to sort of let them know they've been served papers.
Yeah.
And I guess my only guess is the way this got started had to be people just saying, I never knew I was being sued. The reason I didn't respond to the lawsuit or the reason I didn't show up in court or whatever is because I didn't know. So I think never got it. I think they had to figure out some way to come up with to prove, to have somebody to be able to go into court and say, no, that person did know they were sued because I'm the one who gave them the papers.
Do they have to take a picture as well? Because he could still say that this didn't happen, right? Couldn't he?
I don't know what
the rules are, because before I thought you had to physically touch it.
Right, and then now you don't have to touch it. It just has to be in your presence.
Yeah.
It's really a weird part of the law.
So the Bieber story is that this was according to TMZ. We talked to Harvey about it on Monday. He was hanging out at the beach in Laguna Beach when a guy walked by with a little dog, with a cute, super cute dog. And Justin Bieber did what any human would do, which is to go, oh, my God, what a cute dog. Lean over to pet the dog, and which time the guy dropped the paperwork and said, you've been served. And that's how the lawsuit turns out. Suckered him in
with a puppy.
Right?
Wow.
But why not? I bet people have been suckered in with lots of things, being invited to parties or, you know, bringing attractive, women around or whatever it is. But we thought it might be fun to hear from you on either side of process serving. I don't think we've ever done this phone topic before. If you have been the person who has had to get creative to do process serving, like if that's a job you have or have had, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you've ever been involved with being served or having somebody at your work or somebody around you being served in a creative way, we'd like to hear from you as well. The number is 1-800-520-1067. As always, you can reach us through at Kevin Abean on Twitter or the Kevin Abean Facebook page. You can always text us at 2 K-Rock if you want to as well. Mark Maron had this happen on a recent episode of his Maron show on IFC. Did you see this one, Kevin?
I did not, no.
This was he did an episode that was based around the real-life lawsuit against podcasters. Remember that company in Texas was trying to put podcasters out of business by saying they invented podcasting years ago?
Yep.
And a guy shows up at the door at Mark Maron's house on the show, and Mark looks through the door and thinks it's just a fan at his door.
Oh, it's a fan.
Yeah, sure. Seriously, one of them tweeted my address last week. Hey, man.
Hey, Mark Maron.
Hey, buddy. Look, I appreciate you coming by, but it's a little weird. All right, so I need my personal boundaries, but I'll sign whatever you got there, and I'll do a pic if you want.
You've been served.
What?
Yeah. Such an honor. I mean, I was really psyched to get this assignment.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
Great. Great having fans like you.
I wonder how you get a gig like that serving papers. It's like you just get paid to be a dick.
You just get paid to be a dick. So 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Steve in Newbury Park. He's on line one. He did get paid to be a dick and to do a job like that. Steve, do I have this right? You worked as a server?
Yeah, that's right. I'm an absolute dick.
That's fantastic. So tell us about your job.
It's
easier than you think it is. It's people either run away from you or accept them. If they run away or don't open the door, you just throw it at them. Your job's done.
Okay, wait. Hold right there. So if the person turns and runs from you, you throw it at them and that's fine with the law? Like that means they've been served?
You're served at that point.
Now, do most of the people that you pursue, are they aware that you're looking for them? They know they're being sued and that's why they're being so evasive?
To be quite honest, I wish I would get those all the time because those are the ones you make the most money on. So if somebody has already been tried to, if someone's been served or someone's trying to get someone served and, you know, the law firm just can't seem to get the job done.
Then they bring in Steve. He's the hard hitter.
Well, you know, they'll bring in somebody on an hourly or a PI and they'll pay in upwards of maybe $120 an hour in rare cases for a surveillance. And,
wow.
You know, those are the great ones. And you go to the door dressed as a pizza guy, and they open the door. Hey, you're served. Have a pizza. Good day.
That's awesome. So,
do they get to keep the pizza, though?
Maybe eat half of it while you're sitting on surveillance, though. Wow.
So what was the one, Steve, if one comes to mind that you were the most pleased with yourself, with how creative you were to get to that person?
Oh, man. There's one that sticks out in mind. This rich lady in Westlake, she never came to the door. Her dad was a judge, believe it or not. And
did you throw the papers at the door?
Well, I stopped on the corner of Westlake Boulevard at a red light. And when it was raining, I had it in a Ziploc bag. I got out of the car and put it on her windshield and said, have a great day, lady.
Now, are you required to say you've been served? Do you have to say anything to them or just giving the paperwork is enough?
Just giving them the paperwork, but I always figure there should be a little dance that goes with it just to show them, like, hey, ha-ha in your face.
Like a kickball change, something like that.
Look, Kevin and I were talking about this earlier today, Steve. If I were a process server, every single time I delivered the paperwork, I would do this.
Sir. Sir.
And then I would make, and then I would have a dance crew that would travel with me, and then would put on a little show.
Oh, awesome.
be the greatest day of that person's life. You are awesome, sir. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you listening. All right, let's flip the script a little bit and go to Shane, Ontario, line 3. He is the one who got served. Let's find out what that was like on his end.
Hey, Shane.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You got served papers?
Yes, I did. I was at home, and I knew that they were trying to serve me because it was, like, an issue with work. And so I was, like, avoiding it. Well, I play in a band, and I was, like, having, like, a local show. After the show, someone comes up to me, and they're like, hey, are you Shane? And I was like, yeah. And then they're like, you've been served. And I got served paperwork.
Oh, the gig.
And you thought it was a fan or something.
Yeah, here I am. Because it's a local band. We're not famous at all, you know. But somebody recognized me. I was like, ooh, let me sign something. Like getting all pumped. But
sign this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, Shane. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Bobby Encino, line 4, please. Now we're getting creative with the process serving. Hey, Bobby, welcome to the show.
Hey, my brother-in-law was living in my guest house, and his sister left me, and we were getting a divorce, but he would not move out. Oh. So I had to evict him, and I couldn't serve him. He was like a ghost, and he worked at night. I never saw the guy.
He was a ghost.
So my aunt passed away, and I talked to a guy in my office. I say, hey, my aunt passed away. He's going to be at the funeral. That's the only time I can see him. So I had to walk up in front of everybody in front of the funeral and serve him his papers. And
what?
It was a big dispute in the family, how horrible I was, but I had to do it at the funeral.
How about, I mean, look, I understand if that's the only time you can get them, but I bet it did rub some of the family members the wrong way that you were bringing that business into that day.
Oh, my God. Well, his wife left, my wife left me, but I couldn't get rid of the brother-in-law.
Wow.
It was horrible.
That's awful.
I mean, look, you did what you had to do. Did you do the You Got Served dance, though?
Yeah, at the funeral, yeah.
All right, Bobby, thanks for the call, sir. Oh, we got some great calls here, you guys. Please hang on. We're going to get right back to you. 1-800-520-106, and we want your You Got Served questions next on K-Rock. I love these calls so much. We're talking about process serving on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't think we've ever taken calls on this topic before, but we're doing it today at 1-800-520-1067. You can always text us, of course, number 2, K-Rock, 2, K-R-O-Q. Where do you want to start, Kevin? So many good ones here. So many creative people.
Let's start with this celebrity one. On line one, let's go to Cal in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hello. Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, Cal. Thanks for holding on. Thanks for calling. So you served someone in sort of a public way. How?
Well, we got a judgment to enforce against Tyga. Mm-hmm. And he was pretty evasive. His family was telling me that he had sold and moved from Calabasas. Turns out that wasn't true. So I had been running after him for a few months. And
how did you finally find him?
Well, our collectors at Continental Commercial Group, they contacted me telling me that Chris Brown had tweeted that he was going to be at Tyga's premiere, his shoe premiere at Chic Shoes. So they called me. They had just obtained the paperwork from the courts, and they called me and asked me if I'd go down there and take care of that.
Now, I would imagine with a celebrity, somebody like Tyga is going to have security around him. Doesn't that make it even tougher for you to get paperwork in his hand?
Oh, man. They had some big brothers in there, too.
Yeah.
There was a lot of security. When I first walked in, before it all went down, they had approached me and asked me if there was something I could do for them. I said, no, I'm just looking around. Then I stood in line, and I was there for a couple hours. No one questioned me.
Guys, I feel like at this time we need to either decide to finish talking to Cal and not talk to anyone else, or say thanks for calling and move on.
We appreciate the call, Cal. You served Tyga well done. And did it in front of the TMZ cameras as well, by the way. Maybe he didn't bring that to life as much as he could have, but it's still an interesting story. All right, let's go to Mariah. She's on line three. We haven't heard much from the ladies on this topic, but she's checking in from Marina Valley.
Hey, Mariah.
Hi, good morning.
Is this your gig? You do it for a living?
I don't anymore, but I used to do it a few years ago.
Okay.
All right, tell us about it.
It was pretty interesting. Well, for me, it didn't happen very often, but I didn't really have to get too creative. They weren't expecting a girl to show up at their door or at their workplace, so they're not going to start running when a girl's walking in with papers in their hand.
Isn't that interesting?
What?
So their sexism worked in your favor?
A little bit. There was one where I had to serve a guy at his house, and he says, okay, well, let me grab a pen, come on in. I'm like, no thanks, I'm going to stand outside.
Yeah, no kidding. And then what happens if he didn't come back? Do you have to go back again?
Yeah, we do. He signed for it and everything, but, you know, he kept inviting me in the house, and I just kept saying no.
That's probably the right move.
Thanks for the call, Mariah. I appreciate that. Listen to this one from Ramon, Kevin and Bean Facebook page. When I was in college, I worked as a process server. One day, one of the people that was on the list was my college professor. So I went to his class, took my exam, and then afterwards, I served him papers from his ex-wife. Surprisingly, he was okay with it and didn't fail me. Can you imagine you walk up to your professor at the end of the class and say, oh, I got some paperwork for you? All right, let's try David, Laguna Hills, line six. David, you're up next on the Kevin and Bean Show talking process serving. What's your story?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I was trying to serve my ex-wife's divorce papers, and she was so sneaky. She wouldn't accept anything that I would give her. So the only way that I could disguise the papers is I put them in my daughter's. You know when you elementary school students, they get their photos taken and they get that big packet of photos?
Right.
I took the photos out of the packet and put the papers in the packet.
Oh, so she thought she was opening the envelope to see pictures of the kids, and she got the papers.
The best part is my daughter actually handed mommy the papers.
Oh,
I don't know if that's the best part.
When you're married to Satan.
Okay.
Wow.
Married to Satan.
Okay. Thanks for the call, David. Appreciate that. Let's go to Joel Torrance, line eight. He's got another family situation that led to serving.
Hey, Joel.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Very, very similar to the last guy's call. A friend of mine had a deadbeat dad, was only around when he wanted to be around, and the mom was trying to serve him papers. So the daughter reached out to him and said, I have my father-daughter dance. I'd love for you to be there. It's going to be my last one, formal attire. So the father shows up, all tucked out and ready to go to a dance. We open the door, and the daughter serves them the papers right there.
Dude.
The daughter did it.
Dude. Why is this not a new Ryan Seacrest reality show, by the way?
Or the
Knock Knock Live, you've been served. That would be awesome. All right.
A lot better.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike in West Covina, line four. Find out about the type of thing you might have to make up to get somebody served. Hey, Mike, welcome.
Thank you. So I had to serve this guy about some divorce paperwork, right? And those are always never fun, I should say.
Right.
So he was pretty much being evasive, and so we had to kind of catch up to him, and I had to end up going to his work. And so I caught him while he was walking into his work, and I was like, hey, dude, I think somebody just hit your car. And he goes, are you kidding me? And I was like, no, like, you have the blue Honda, right? He's like, yeah, yeah. So so we're walking out, and I'm kind of going with him, kind of being like, you know, the Good Samaritan. And, you know, I'm like, you're Jesse, right? And he goes, yeah, how'd you know? And I'm like, oh, I have your divorce papers. You've been there.
Boom!
Like, oh, man. You know, and he went through, like, all the phases of emotion. I mean, he went through super pissed, like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. How could you do this to me? Like, as if I knew him, kind of thing. You know what I mean? And then after that, he was like, are you the one that's sleeping with my wife? Blah, blah, blah. And so he kind of started going off of me.
Wait, like, were you the one that was sleeping with his wife?
No.
All right.
Not in this instance.
Not in this instance. Oh, wow. Okay. Exactly.
But at some point, he was relieved that his car hadn't been hit, right? I mean, at least he realized you just made that up, at least.
I think that was the least of his concern at that point.
Yeah. All right.
He was just not happy.
Final question for you. At that point, once you got the paperwork in his hands, did you turn to him and say,
Sir.